Testing 1, 2. Now I hear myself. Excuse me.
Testing. Test, one, test, two. Test. 1, 2.
Now I hear myself. Now I hear myself. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Now that, test, test, no, 1, 2. No, test, it, test, 1, 2, 3.
Now what's that second green line mean? Anything?
I'm not sure why it's not coming up. But that's the one that matters. Hello. Test, test, test. 1, 2, 3.
See, normally see both of them?
We're both peaking. Now just the top one.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know why that little one's
even
showing. Doing that. Yeah. Test, test, test. 1, 2, 3.
Darn if Mike or somebody
they could have hit something on
made
there.
Made an adjustment up in here.
Let's see if...
We've got a lot of audio. Morgan, we've got a lot of audio. So, you know, we're going to want to be talking at 25 till, no later. Well, I tell you what I did. I mean, I had my stuff from Jeff. I mean, it was like I was doing the game for Phoenix. He was just loaded. Now here's I listed these spots. AAG in between Macau, Dickman, Coffee, Frisch's. Now you can play all of these beginning at like 25 after. You can play all of those beginning at like 25 after. Bizarre tweak in the back of my neck, and then I'll get a tweak inside of my left knee. I mean, it's just, and I can't get comfortable.
I roll over all night long. day.
Yeah.
And I get up and go to the bathroom 5-6 times. I just had all of my, on Wednesday, I went in for my labs, and she said, your labs are better than they've ever been. My cholesterol, my sugar, my PSA, which is your prostate, she goes, they're all perfect.
Yeah, I get up. Out in Phoenix, we drank so much, I got up 5 times one night in the middle of the night in Phoenix.
That's a good idea. All right, so Davis is our leading rusher, nobody else is close.
Yeah, you should have stats. Yeah, good, you have stats in there. I think this Cedric Johnson.
There was 12 yards of carry. One attempt.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, right shoulder is, I lie on it, it's the frozen shoulder. I wake up in the morning after getting over on it in the middle of the night, and it feels like it's paralyzed. It loosens up.
Well, I feel about a million times better tonight than I did at the Loramie game. My knee
good.
And everything.
Really? Wow, that's great.
That was a tough night. Yeah, all that swelling was horrible. And I was still, I think I overdid it.
side of the season. My section
shot. We got top three rushers in the league tonight. DJ Davis first, Kevin Walters 4 yards behind him, and then Brayden Silas. Yeah, boy. Kevin Walters. He technically worked with Mike Wick and Jeff. He has been
He has been quietly campaigning for the sheriff primary in Shelby County for over a year, and it's coming up next March. He called me and wanted to know if he could spend $600 and get on the air during the basketball season.
Why not? What did Mike think of that?
It's interesting you say that because
that would be a person I'd ask.
Because
somebody you don't want to promote.
Because I asked Mike Wick.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I did. I asked Mike Wick. We'll be right back.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field level windows that they installed down on the playing surface, so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge. And that's been a really big sell in recruiting. It looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass. AAGincoh.com.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In-Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In-Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you, too, will return to the In-Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, seven of us, including five children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkin's, 25 and 274.
Street sweepers and snow removers. For such equipment, a local employer manufactures quality replacement parts used across the nation. Close to home, Local Equipment extends to students at Jackson Center High School the opportunity for a quality college education.
We know the importance of educating right now our future workforce and community leaders.
Local's Roger Dietrich.
That's why we support Jackson Center High School with scholarships so students can go on and learn career skills.
Jackson Center students and their student athletes have benefited greatly from Local Equipment for their scholarships. These student athletes have completed their degrees at universities and have started outstanding careers.
Local began in L.A., California. It moved to Shelby County in 1982, and the community and Jackson Center students are proud.
Thanks so much to Local for supporting Jackson Center High School.
We are Local Equipment.
A big reason why Shelby County is a great place to call home.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the five-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, GOFFENAFurniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
Can I get a big boy with crispy bacon and a fried egg? That's genius. Let's call that the farmhouse boy.
Hey, could I get the same thing with sausage patties instead of beef patties?
Done and done. That's the breakfast boy.
What about a big boy with green leaf lettuce, tomatoes, and red onions?
We'll call that the deluxe big boy.
You ask, we make. New members of the big boy family now available.
All at your local Frisch's, home of burgers, breakfast, and big boy.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney?
Get connected to your VA benefits.
Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to Facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
Brookins in Fort Laramie is well known for its juicy roasted chicken dinners, plus many savory sandwiches and cheesy and meaty homemade pizza. The special on Saturday nights features not one, but two delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops.
New owner Carl Arns creates a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. Brookins is perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60.
You can also enjoy the new late-night menu, open till 2:30 in the morning, Thursday through Saturday.
You can't beat Brookins at 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie.
Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S pub.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance. And that's for sure. Barker Insurance. North County Road 25A in Sydney. Phone 492-1857.
Early in her freshman basketball season in 2016, Fort Loramie's Marissa Meiring suffered a serious knee injury. But in just 6 months, thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine, Marissa, now a senior, was healthy and back in the game. Listen now to another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story, as told by Marissa's parents, Betsy and Kevin Meiring.
It was practice on December 15th when our daughter Marissa went down with a knee injury. Wilson Health Sports Medicine stepped in, assessed the knee injury as a complete ACL tear and a meniscus tear. It was a little devastating to hear as she started off her freshman year so strong.
However, Ryan Castle, Wilson Health Sports Medicine athletic trainer, played a major role in Marissa's full recovery.
There's so many great things that I can say about Ryan. He was just fantastic. He was there supporting Marissa every step of the way, from her injury to the assessment to surgery to rehab all the way to her full recovery.
And successful surgery on Marissa's knee was performed by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matthew Heckler.
Marissa's surgeon Dr. Heckler was terrific. We had full confidence in him. He was just so compassionate and caring toward Marissa. I'll never forget the day in his office when he gave her the diagnosis of the ACL tear. Of course, she was in tears and Dr. Heckler handed her a box of Kleenex and said, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you fixed up and we'll get you back on the court."
Marissa responded. After a solid sophomore basketball season, she excelled as a junior. She was named Girls Shelby County Player of the Year, First Team All Southwest District, and Special Mention All Ohio.
We're so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. Your radio on your phone for high school sports.
Well, good evening to you, everybody. I'm Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee. It's our seventh football webcast of the high school season. We speak to you from here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field on an overcast evening, as the Sydney Yellow Jackets prepare to take on the Troy Trojans. Of the seven webcasts, including tonight, this is my sixth. It's Chuck's second. So much gratitude to Matt Zerker and Mike Wick for their assistance, along with Jeff Bray. Jeff handled play-by-play of Sydney and Fairborn last week and brought home a winner, a 24-17 thriller by Sydney over Fairborn. And all of that resulted thanks to a last-second hook and ladder play of nearly 50 yards from Johnson to Jones to Davis for Sydney to pull it out of the fire. Tonight, Sydney hosts Troy in homecoming. Sydney 2-4, Troy 5-1. The Trojans, the last 3 years, GWAC North Division champs. Outstanding senior class graduated from Troy last spring. And during the last three seasons, Troy hammered Sydney by scores averaging 40-15, three resounding triumphs by Troy over Sydney. The last three campaigns, Sydney's last win over Troy came in 2015. And Troy, the odds-on favorite to take the newly formed Miami Valley League title this year in a transitional season. Troy's got the upper hand. In fact, Troy is ranked in the top three or four in its region of Division II. Trojans, as I mentioned, rolling along 5-1, only setback week two on the road at powerhouse Cincinnati Turpin. Sydney trying to continue the momentum from that big triumph here at home last week over the Fairborn Skyhawks. Big names you'll hear on offense for Sydney tonight may not include, I emphasize may not include senior quarterback Ryan Dunham, who injured his shoulder last week. It's a soft tissue bruise. Might keep him out of the signal calling spot for a week or two. He should punt tonight. As Chuck noted, we saw Ryan throwing the football a little bit down there on the gridiron about 10 minutes ago, right?
Yeah, he was, but now watching the first group offense warming up on the other end here, it's definitely Johnson taking the snaps at quarterback. So, you know, it's one thing to stand out there and throw the ball around a little bit. It's another thing to take a shot to that shoulder again.
Right. Cedric performed well in a short stint for Dunham last week, so he will likely get the nod at QB. Of course, E.J. Davis at running back and Lathan Jones and Quamir Brown at receiver are dangerous wideouts. Ryan Cagle, Clay Carter, Cam Vordemark have excelled over the past few weeks on the defensive side for Sydney. Troy prefers to run the ball first, throw it second when they have to. Senior quarterback Braden Seiler is an outstanding rusher. He's got the ability to toss it as well. Running back Kevin Walters is superb. In fact, Chuck, in the game tonight, we've got the top three rushers in the Miami Valley League.
Yeah.
E.J. Davis, number one, Seiler, two, Walters right behind in the three spot. And if the weather gets inclement at all, and it could, we'll see run all evening long.
Well, I think that we're going to see Troy definitely want to run the ball, and try to control the line of scrimmage. Sydney would like to do the same thing.
Yep.
But if they get behind, then they're going to have Johnson try to throw the ball a little bit. But you got to pick your spots. You can't have the young man throwing every time. The only time he's throwing is on third and eight, third and ten, that's a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. The forecast for tonight, yesterday morning, had the word thunder in it. That suggests lightning potential. However, the forecast all day today has eliminated thunder and thus lightning. So if we do get rain, maybe some showery activity and nothing to delay us. We've already had two of the previous six contests delayed by lightning and thunder.
Nothing better than sitting up in a press box and try to fill 2 hours of thunder time.
Right. And in fact, one of Sydney's two wins over Dayton Belmont, a 7-0 victory.
Right.
It was halted twice because of lightning. You're looking at radar right now. What do we show?
Nothing out there. And if you go west, it's all the way over by Noblesville and just a little north of Indianapolis before you get any solid green. So I think we're going to be safe tonight.
Yeah, that sounds like 10 p.m. to midnight showers, if anything at
right.
all. Troy has beaten Belmont 28-27. That was the opener in OT. That's the only common opponent, Chuck. Sydney beat Belmont, as I mentioned, in a game we covered here on scoresbroadcast.com, 7-0. So if you do the math, that means Sydney should be a 6-point winner over Troy.
Yep, well, and you know what? Sydney will take that.
Right. Week two, Troy defeated Butler 35-14. Lost at Turpin 62-13. First-year head coach Dan Gress mentioned to me during the week. Four turnovers right out of the chute. Troy was in serious trouble, and that game was over fast.
Well, I ran into Dave Palmer downtown Piqua the following Tuesday, and he was talking about that game, and he said, that's a really good football team.
I would imagine. And the last 3 weeks, Troy has defeated Tippecanoe 14-7, routed Greenville 35-7, and Stebbins 42-7. And meanwhile, Sydney played exceedingly well the first couple weeks in offense. It didn't get it in gear on both sides of the ball till the second half. Lost to St. Mary's 25-22 and Bellefontaine 42-34. Won the game over Belmont, as we noted. And then with injuries, Sydney was blanked by Piqua 29-0, Xenia 20-0, before downing Fairborn last week 24-17. I talked with head coach Adam Dungis in his ninth year at Sydney earlier this week. He highlighted that great hook and ladder play that closed out the game, one his coaches helped draw up, one they practice all week long. And he also said, hey, we got off to a good start and opened up a 17-3 lead.
Going into halftime, we felt 17-3. We had some good adjustments we made on both sides of the ball and talked to our kids about, you know, extending the lead and not just being content. One of the things that was different for this game, this was the first game this year where we didn't have the ball coming out in the second half. So that was a little bit different for us. And, you know, when you started looking at the game, you started thinking about it, and all of a sudden we're in the fourth quarter. I'm like, well, we're only up 7, but I feel like we're up more than that. But we only had the possession of the ball 3 times in the fourth quarter, and part of that was us sustaining some longer drives but not scoring, and then Fairborn having some longer drives but being able to score. So next thing we know, we're right back in the middle of this ball game. And you know, I give our kids a lot of credit. They didn't panic, they didn't worry too much about it. They relied on, you know, what we do during the week and what we've done in the off season to get us through, and still believed here in that towards the end there when we had the ball and there's only 50 some seconds left on the clock, we had all 3 timeouts, and we moved the ball on a couple plays, and then obviously we had the hitch and lateral play that worked well for us.
How often do you practice that during the week?
It's a staple. I mean, we run it probably 2 to 4 times every week. I mean, that's something we get out there quite a bit.
Only this time you had to do it with your backup quarterback.
Correct. We had to do it with the backup quarterback, so I'm not sure how many times Seth gets those reps. Mm-hmm. But it's something we've run in our program since I've got here from day one. I had 3 career catches in my high school career at St. Mary's under Doug Fry, and 2 of my 3 were that play, which I think is kind of a shot in my own gut because, hey, you're good enough to catch the first 5 yards, but you're not good enough to run after that, so you're going to get to one of the backs who's faster. So it didn't say anything about my prowess as an athlete. It was more catch it and throw it to somebody else who's going to get us more yards. But, no, it's a good play for us and something we've always ran.
You don't know the answer to this question. No coach ever does. But you got off to a great start for once. You had an outstanding first 2 periods.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, like we've talked about with our kids. One of our goals is always to win the first series of the first half and the second half. So, you know, we look at how did we do in our first series of the game and how do they do in their first series of the game offensively and defensively, and we do the same thing with the second half. So we were able to come out ahead to start that game, and, you know, obviously that gets you off on the right foot, something we had to do that was different playing with the lead. Start that second half, you know, we didn't start off as well. They scored on their first drive, and we did not. So that's something we're going to have to put together, try to get 2 good halves, starting halves this coming weeks.
Your defense played exceedingly well for 2/3 of the game. Highlight a number of defenders who were standouts in that win over Fairborn.
Yeah, I mean, I think the heart and soul of our defense starts up the middle with Colin Jones, who's our nose man, who never gets enough credit for what he does. He's probably an undersized nose in this league, and he's constantly getting double teamed, and if he's not getting double teamed, we're in trouble. So he's got to be able to do his job and maintain some of those A gaps on our defense. And then right behind him is Ryan Cagle, and then he's bookend by senior Clay Carter also. We had to move to linebacker here with some injuries we've had with some of our sophomore linebackers.
Hey, and he led your team in tackles against Fairborn.
Correct. You know, him and Ryan Cagle did a great job. And, right. You know, Clay, that's a whole new world for him because he's been one of those outside strong safety guys for us the last 3 years. And mm-hmm. We had to move him inside because we had some sophomore linebackers that are banged up and still continue to be banged up. And, you know, I don't want to lose sight of the fact of Darren Taborn. This is the first time we've played a passing team this season. Right. Going back to preseason with CJ and stuff. So you know, those guys were licking their chops all week because we were going to see some balls in the air. And Darren started the game off well for us by picking the ball, second or third play of the game, picking the ball up. They tried to take a shot downfield on him, and he went up and made a phenomenal play. And then he also sealed the game for us with their last desperation pass by picking that off, too.
Mm-hmm. 6 of your 24 points, the result of the kicking game provided by Holly Truesdale, 3 PATs and a big FG, a field goal.
Yeah, she's been pretty bored the last two games because she hasn't had a chance to do any of that. But she's still been getting her reps during the week, and still telling her, you know, we keep continuing to tell her, you're going to have to make some big kicks for us this year. And she missed 2 earlier field goals earlier this year, probably right on the edge of her range and complexity and distance. But, you know, she continues to get her work in, continues to believe, and our team continues to believe that she was capable of making big kicks for us. And that was a big kick. It wasn't pretty, but when you go back and look at the film, the snap was high. It was over Ryan Dunham's head, and I give him a lot of credit for pulling that down because Ryan Cagle is normally pretty well in it, 3-year snapper, but he put one a little bit high. The thing that people don't realize is Ryan Cagle can get a lot of spin on that ball. Mm-hmm. And when that ball's coming to catch with a lot of spin and a lot of speed, it's over your head. That's not an easy ball to catch.
Right.
So Ryan Dunham did a nice job of getting that thing back down, but the timing, the operation was just off a little bit, so Hallie probably didn't get as much leg as she had to because she just had a momentarily pause. But I'm really proud of her for being able to put that thing through and just barely snuck it through that bottom upright. And, you know, in the end, when you look at it, obviously, yeah, that was a huge kick for us because they also had a big kick in their kicking game to get this game tied up there. But, no, it was a huge moment for us.
Speaking of Ryan Dunham, his status at quarterback, and assess the performance of his backup, Cedric Johnson.
Yeah, first of all, I think, you know, Ryan's been our quarterback now for 2 years, and then he also had some good playing time lettered his sophomore year when Andre Gordon had to go down. I think the 3 quarters that he was able to play, or 2.5 quarters he was able to play, was probably the best 2.5 quarters he played all year. I thought he did a great job in the first half, zipping the ball around, making good reads, making good throws. You know, we didn't help him out. We dropped 1 or 2 balls there, so his stats would have been a little bit better. But I thought he did a great job, and I was really proud of him for that. And then, obviously, Sed's always been sitting there waiting in the wings, ready to go, and I thought he did a nice job coming in. We didn't miss a pass on a big fourth down play, but, you know, he didn't get burnt. He didn't get frustrated by. He didn't come off sulking. He remained composed like quarterbacks should be able to do, and came off and did a nice job on the hook and lateral, and obviously it was a big play for us.
Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, before tonight's game between the Yellow Jackets and the Troy Trojans. E.J. Davis, he's been battered, he's been shaken up, injured, gave you 100% and then some against Fairborn.
No, I mean, you look at his carries he's had. St. Mary's, he was at 12, then Bell Fountain was 17, and then Belmont, he got to 19. In the Pickwick game, it was down to 10 and got banged up in that game. And then we sat him out against Xenia with a bruised bruised meniscus, bruised MCL type stuff. We just needed some rest on it. And then leading up to the Fairborn game, he didn't get a whole lot of reps during the week. We used him sparingly, so he didn't get a chance to run around and move a whole lot. We just kind of got him some easy carries through the week to get the rhythm down with handoffs and that kind of stuff. And then obviously we got into the game. He was feeling pretty good by Thursday, Friday. And then we got him into the game, and he ended up having 26 carries, 188 yards. Also had 1 or 2 catch receptions, and obviously he was the recipient of the lateral play from Lathan. So, yeah, he's getting stronger and stronger as we go on and getting more used to being a running back at the Division II level. You know, as a sophomore, that's not easy to do. Isaiah Bowser was able to do that. But once again, with Isaiah Bowser, it was kind of, if you look at his carries, his first half of his season of his sophomore year, it's pretty similar to where we have EJ at, because you just got to figure out if they can handle the workload, and EJ's proven from last game that he's able to do that, and we're going to have our work cut out with a good Troy defense this week.
Speaking of the Trojans, they graduated a lot of seniors a year ago, but still a wealth of talent for Troy here in 2019.
Yeah, you know, they had that senior class that was one that they really, really relied on. You know, they were freshmen the first year that Coach Burbacher, I think, got there. Then the sophomores, they did pretty well, and then the junior year, then the senior year really started turning it on, and a lot of those guys graduated, so you lose a lot lot of those seniors, and now when you have a successful program like Troy, a lot of those juniors have been battle-tested at the JV level. They had a lot of success down there, so they know what it feels like to win. And then when they get to that varsity level, that's the expectation. When you have a program that maybe not have some not as much success, you're playing a lot of those juniors, you're playing a lot of those sophomores at the varsity level, maybe when they're not quite ready. So it's been neat turning on the film. New coaching staff. Obviously, they lost both Burbachers, but the rest of the staff was already there. Everyone just kind of switched roles a little bit. So it's been kind of interesting to see how they've changed some of the nuances on the offense, some of the nuances on the defense, and even on the special teams. Some of that stuff's got switched around too. So it's been neat kind of watching the film and just kind of looking back how things have changed over the last from last year to this year with that program.
Ninth year Sydney High School head football coach Adam Dungis talking about this Sydney-Troy rivalry. Chuck, the last 4 years, the winning team has scored 52, 38, 48, 31. I'm not so sure the winning club will score that many tonight. I might be surprised. These two teams could go up and down the field running the football back and forth. What's your prognostication?
Well, this is my first time I've seen Sydney, and I haven't seen Troy.
If it stays dry.
If it stays dry, yeah, I mean, you got to give Troy the advantage. They've got one heck of a quarterback that can run it and throw it. They've got a great running back. Sydney has got athletes.
Sure.
That's the one thing. You look down this roster, and you see Jones, and you see Taborns. They've got talent.
Yep.
And if they can get those athletes out in space,
there you go.
That is when they're going to be a tough team.
Yeah.
They've struggled doing that this year so far.
Yeah. Troy would prefer to run the ball between the tackles. Sydney wants to get on the edge.
Right. And that's where their strength is.
During the latter stage of our conversation with Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, he alluded to the new coaching staff at Troy, led by Dan Gress, who's in his first year, serving 4 years as an assistant under head coach Matt Burbacher. Coach Gress at Troy is a graduate of Northmont High School and Kent State University.
Played football at Northmont and had the privilege and honor of playing under Lance Snyder, who I brought a lot of what I learned and see what he did for boys on and off the field to this program. Played football at Kent State. I guess you could say some pros and cons of having about three head coaches and a lot of assistant coaches come in. Saw what I really liked and got to see what I really didn't like with different coaching styles with that. So I was able to bring that as well. And it was neat to be able to play in travel at different, venues that brought, different types of atmospheres.
Sure.
And see what it takes to go into competitive atmospheres and come out with a win.
Yeah, yeah. 4 years coaching here at Troy, defensive line, special teams. Highlight those 4 years and what you learned under your head coach, Matt Burbacher.
Yeah, the number one thing I learned under Coach Burbacher was, the relationship you have to have with your players. Above all else, X's and O's, anything like that, that's football. You better have a great relationship with your players because that's going to come a lot longer ways than just X's and O's. And it was great to also be able to be under, his dad, Charlie Burbacher, and see the preparation that it takes. If you want to be successful, you better put the time in. And that holds true to high school football. You better put the time in if you want to win on Friday.
Sure, sure. Coach Gress's schemes, approaches, philosophies, what are you repeating that Coach Burbacher might have utilized? What have you tweaked?
This year we definitely, if you say the biggest change from the last 4 years is running our quarterback. Braden right now is about number two or three in the GWAT, or sorry, MVL, with, leading in rushing. And that's what we like about our offense. It's fluid. So we're going to run that puts our best athletes the ball in their hands and be able to make plays. And it starts with establishing the run. I don't care what offense we're running, we better have a run game and establish that early.
Hey, he's a great leader for you, a senior returning QB, because you graduated a number of outstanding 12th graders 1 year ago.
Yeah, that was one of the better senior classes to come through Troy in about 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
And so to have a senior leader like Braden and also playing, it helps that he's the quarterback as well, to be able to lead this team through times of adversity, which we've had a lot this year with tough, close games and other things. And that's the biggest area of improvement that we wanted to see and we have seen this year of this team dealing with adversity in the game, because not every game this year is going to be a running clock.
Sure. Highlight the skill players that you surround your quarterback, Siler, with.
Yeah, it starts with Austin Stanford, number one, and it's great to see him. He's worked his butt off. He's had injuries the last 2 years. This is his first year to be able to get out there. And he's a nice, big, deep threat for us. You know, he's tall, lanky, led the MVO, or now Gio, or used to be G-Walka, in rebounds last year. Yeah. So he's got a nice frame. He's able to go up and get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts also with, you know, Kevin Walters. So he's right there with Braden leading the MVO and rushing. And he's another one that's been behind, one of our best running backs in the past, and now it's his chance to go show, you know, the league what he has.
And what have you liked from your club the first 6 weeks? What are you working on here in week 7?
Like I mentioned, dealing with that adversity. This team, these classes haven't had to deal with a lot of close games and battle through all the way till the end.
Right.
And we've had to do that this year. We've had to come back from behind, come back, you know, go into halftime tied up or down and battle through that adversity and be great teammates. And then the other part that we're still looking to improve on is getting better each day in practice and knowing that product we put on the field during practice is what's going to show up on Friday. So let's make that product on Tuesday the product we want to see on Friday.
Sure. First year head coach at Troy, Dan Gress, our guest before tonight's game between Troy and Sydney. Hey, it's week 7. You've played 6 games. It's not too soon to talk about the postseason with just one loss through the first 6. Hey, these last 4, make or break your entire campaign.
Yeah, they're make or break, and we're not shying away from that. We told the kids, we showed them the 4 games we have and made them make sure they know that not one is a gimme. We're going to have to earn every single one, and it starts with this Sydney team who has a lot of talent, and their record really does not indicate the talent they have and what type of team they are. So it starts with Sydney, and we're going to have to earn every game here on out.
As you project forward, you might be able to lose one more and host, but you don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, we're not going to put it in anyone else's hands. I'm not telling the kids that. Hopefully they're not listening to this. And so that's one thing. You know, you just don't ever know what's going to happen with that. And hopefully just, take these 4 games and do what we can and give ourselves a good shot going into week 11.
Overall injury situation, health of your club heading into the game against Sydney?
Yeah, we had some guys banged up that about midway point, about week 4, and guys are starting to come back and get healthy, and it's nice to see some guys that are able to come back and start contributing to the team that did at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. If you had to put your finger on one or two things that might go a long way to deciding the outcome against Sydney, what might they be?
Number one, it starts with just like how we want to establish a run. We have to stop EJ Davis.
Yeah.
He's one heck of an athlete, a competitor. He'll run through tackles. He'll outrun you. Mm-hmm. So it starts with, controlling the trench and stopping EJ, and then also stopping their explosive plays. They have, from Brown to Jones, they have plenty of people that are able to make a big play. So big plays and stopping the run is a key for our defense this week.
Hey, this is one heck of a long-term rivalry, isn't it?
It is, and that's one thing I love about the MVL moving forward is once you get an MVL play, every game's going to seem like a rivalry, and you're very familiar with each other, and we're excited to go up to Sydney. We're telling the sophomores that haven't played there yet that it's a heck of an atmosphere, and the Sydney players bring it, their coaches bring it, and so does the crowd.
Thanks to U.S. Bank, your banking is done in a few clicks, so you have time to get more done, like wake up, stretch, make yourself presentable, go to meetings, go to the gym, convince yourself you like the gym.
It's fun. I really like it.
You fit a lot into an average day. Thankfully, a U.S. Bank checking account with online and mobile access allows banking to fit in your life. Call 800-720-BANK, visit a branch, or go to usbank.com/checking. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. See a banker or visit usbank.com/checking for more information. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee back here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, cloudy, overcast night, chance of showers. We do look at the radar. They're well off to the west. We might get by tonight, Chuck, without any rain. No lightning or thunder to be seen.
Yeah, that's good. That's the good part.
But or to be heard.
Yeah. And we've got a little bit of a breeze going, and it looks like it's blowing. It would be south to north, isn't it?
Yep. Southeast to northwest.
Yeah. I'm trying to orient myself what I'm looking at.
We're looking east. The breeze coming at us maybe a little east-southeast across the Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field gridiron. During that conversation with Dan Gress, first-year head coach of Troy, I was making some notes. Which team will show up tonight for Troy? The club that committed four turnovers and led Stebbins by only a touchdown, 14-7 at halftime last week, or the team that blanked Stebbins 28-0 over the last two periods 1 week ago?
Well, for Sydney's sake, they better hope it's the first one, and they show up both halves.
Sydney Yellow Jackets put together an outstanding contest against Fairborn 1 week ago, pulled it out on that late Hitchin lateral play. It was a combination of three young men that turned the trick. Cedric Johnson, Lathan Jones, and E.J. Davis, touchdown from nearly 50 yards away in the waning seconds to beat the Skyhawks by a score of 24-17. Ryan Dunham, as head coach Adam Dunn just noted several minutes ago, played his best three quarters plus of the season. Unfortunately, injured a shoulder, and we may not see him at quarterback tonight. It looked like Chuck Cedric Johnson, the sophomore, was taking
took the snaps.
Yeah, yep. He was conducting the reps down on the gridiron in the pregame.
Well, Sydney won the toss and they deferred, so Troy's going to get the ball first.
Trojans will be working from the north to the south against a moderately stiff breeze blowing from the east-southeast or south-southeast across Sydney Memorial Stadium's field here tonight. There was a little bit of rain down in the Dayton area a couple hours ago. Light shower passed through Shelby County.
We had some in Pickwell probably about 4 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, it was 4 to 4:30 in the Sydney area for a brief rain. Here is the kickoff by Sydney, drilled down to the 10-yard line. Returned by Walters from that spot for Troy. He barrels up the left side, outside the hash mark, beyond the numbers, into the Troy bench and out of bounds at the 36 or 7-yard line.
Returned by number 26, Walters.
Good field position for the Trojans to start. And this Troy team, Chuck, as we were noting, features a powerhouse, well-built offensive line.
They're huge.
Yeah, it looks like NFL weights.
Yes, it does.
Ooh, 261, 320, 318, 254, 352. Zach Ray, Jacob Mormon, Ethan Freed, center Riley Hubbard, and Dawson Hildebrand. First play from scrimmage, though, for Troy results in a loss. Good play by Taborn for Sydney, who came crashing through along with Clay Carter.
Jacob Waters also.
What a combination of Sydney defenders on the opening run for Troy as the Trojans are saddled with a 3-yard setback facing a second and 13 from inside the 35 at the 34.
Well, that was just a pitch sweep, but it really developed slowly that time, and good penetration by the Sydney linebackers.
And to the short side of the field, Sydney was able to match up against Troy's blocking. Snap back to the senior quarterback, Seiler, who weaves his way to the right in the offensive backfield, has a little bit of a crevice, and knifes forward to the 36 or 37. He got the yards back, which were lost on the previous play, setting up a third and about 9.5 for Troy. Football between the hash marks, middle of the field, at the 38 of Troy. Trojans in the home white jerseys. At silver gray headgear, red numbers, red pants. Sydney home, black from top to bottom. Bright gold numbers outlined in white. Here's Seiler rolling left. Little half roll, steps up in the pocket and overthrows his receiver. A 40-yard bomb down the left side. He missed his man by a good 5-6 yards. Against the wind, what a heave by Seiler. He's an outstanding running quarterback. And it just showed right there he's got a strong right arm delivery as well.
Yeah, it didn't even look like he followed through. He just kind of just wristed it out there, and it went about 35 yards in the air.
Looked like maybe he could have run for a half dozen yards, maybe not 10. But it's fourth down for Troy, which goes three and out on its first possession.
Good job by the Sydney defense.
Indeed. And the punt is lifted into the air by the booter for Troy. It hits at the 34 of Sydney, bounces sideways. Trickles downfield just a little bit. Yellow Jackets will take over at their own 32-yard line.
Now, that punt, you can see it got up into the wind, and it just kind of died there. It looked like it was headed down around the 20 to 15, and it dropped straight down on the 31.
Senior kicker, 6'2", Tucker Raske, boomed it downfield for Troy, but as Chuck noted, the wind stalled it. Good field position for the Yellow Jackets. As the two teams flip the field, only about 35 yards or so. Troy runs it, opening play from scrimmage for the Yellow Jackets. Ends quickly, a one-yard advance for Davis from the 32 to the 33. Second down and nine. Sydney Yellow Jackets offensive front is young, only one senior. It's a group that head coach Adam Dungis says gets better and better each week. Nick Benshoff, Isaiah Huggins, Brian Jones, Zane Snyder, Evan Kennedy, Cedric Johnson, the quarterback in place of Ryan Dunham. Cedric, a lefty, fakes the inside handoff and a quick dish into the left flat. Catch made by Quamir Brown in the flat along the line of scrimmage. He is spilled right now. No gain.
Wow, you saw that one coming in the air. And he took a shot. He did a nice job of hanging onto the ball. That was Weston Smith who came up and put the lick on him there.
And Weston's got four interceptions to lead the Miami Valley League. And that looked like the NFL on Sunday as he split the receiver for Sydney right in half.
Well, that ball stayed, just had to stay in the air way too long.
Third and 10, Yellow Jackets at their own 32. We played 2 minutes and 40 seconds, no score. Each team with a possession. Sydney with two receivers right. Half roll by Johnson, who elects to keep it, sneaks back to the line of scrimmage, steps across it. He's met and flipped down sideways just across the line of scrimmage. Very little offensive yardage for each team on Troy's opening series and Sydney's opening series.
Yeah, the defenses did a nice job both ways there.
So Sydney will punt. It is Dunham on the field in punt formation. Back inside is 20. In fact, each club, Chuck, winds up with a fourth and nine and a punt. So a net plus one for each team, opening drives to start the game. And the kick by Dunham with the wind is a good one, sailing to the 37-yard line of Troy, muffed by the deep man, Walters, who falls back on it at the 35. So far a standoff, 8:28 to go first quarter. Just a net of 2 yards total between the two clubs on the opening drives to start the
contest. Exactly. 2 yards. Each team has a yard offense.
Two receivers to the left for senior quarterback Braden Seiler, who sends a man in motion. And it's an inside handoff to Walters, who breaks a tackle at the point of attack, slides ahead across the 40, stays on his feet, and lurches to the 45. He generated 10 even right on the button. He's got the first down. Austin Staniford, a 6'4 wideout, is on the field for Troy, along with A.J. Huker, also a wide receiver. Here is a deep drop by Seiler on a sprint draw, hands off, and Sydney smells it out and stonewalls that play behind the line of scrimmage by a yard.
Well, he dropped the ball, and he had to bend to pick it up, and that just killed the timing of the play.
Second and 11 for Troy from the Trojans' 44-yard line. Neither team's offense off to a good start. Line of scrimmage a little behind the original mark at the 45. It's at the 44-and-a-half. Second down, a little over 10 for Troy. Tight end is Tito Fuentes, 5'10", 230-pound senior.
Isn't he a singer?
Could be. Here's Siler dropping, looking, nowhere to throw, and dumps it off into the flat to a receiver who catches on the dead run at the 49. He scoots to the 50, over it to the 45 of Sydney. It's Walters who is knocked down at the Sydney 42. Don't think Walters was the hot receiver, not the primary man, but Siler found him. And on the outlet dish up the field, the play results in a first down to the Sydney 36. Walters again to the line of scrimmage. He burrows, has a little opening to the 39, 38, 37, and falls to the Sydney 36. And we've gotten an early glimpse, Chuck, as to why Kevin Walters is one of the top three rushers in the Miami Valley League. He is patient. He gets in behind that offensive line. Picks his way, disciplined runner, and he makes the most out of not much of a cavity in that offensive front. Two receivers left and right for Siler on second and five. Here's a roll to the left for the Troy quarterback, looking, and then he reverses his field, nowhere to throw it. He tucks the football away, and beyond the far hash mark is dumped.
I tell you, Cagle again did a great job of mirroring him, did not allow him to cut it up the field.
That was Ryan Cagle of Sydney, as you say, playing man-to-man defense on the basketball floor here on the gridiron.
Yeah, he was. He was you could tell he was mirroring him because he didn't ever lose contain with him.
Right. Third down and three for the Trojans at the Sydney 34. We played half the first quarter, no score. Snap back to Siler, who feeds Walters. Oh, he's got a gap right up the front. He barges to the 30, inside it to the 25, stretches out to the 21 of Sydney. First and 10 Trojans. That mammoth offensive line got the job done. 254-pound senior center is Riley Hubbard. Jacob Moorman, Ethan Freed, the guards at 320 and 318. The tackles, Zach Ray at 261. Dawson Hildebrand at 332. First and 10 Trojans. It's Walters in the middle. Oh, a big cavity develops. And he crashes through it for 10 big ones to the 10-yard line of Sydney. Finally stood up by Jones, the nose guard of the Yellow Jackets. Troy's in business. It might be close to a goal-to-go situation.
Yeah, it is. Just inside the 10.
It's on the 9 2/3 yard line. Goal-to-go Troy. 5:16 left opening quarter. Troy's second possession, a productive one. Nothing count in this game. Serious threat, though, posed by the Trojans. High snap to Siler. He calls the number of Walters again. The zigzag maneuver to the line of scrimmage, and he knifes inside the 5 to the 4.
He had great vision. He takes his time, finds where the hole is, and then he's getting through there. You can see why he's a really good running back.
Cam Vortimak for Sydney sat down the ball carrier, but a marker, flag thrown, offensive holding against Troy. That helps the Sydney cause. New line of scrimmage, the 20. First and goal from there. 5:01 left in the opening period. Nothing count. On homecoming here at Sydney High School tonight, Crown Queen, Megan Heckler, Crown King, Jay Sherman here at Sydney High School. Congrats to them. Goal to go from the 20 for Troy now. First and 10 all over again. Short drop by Siler. He calls his own number. He keeps. He weaves between left guard and tackle. And he makes a late lunge inside the 15 to generate 7 or 8. Looked like he was hemmed in, Chuck, at the 18 or 19-yard line.
Well, he hit a brick wall there, but he went ahead and cut it out to the outside and did a nice, like you said, his momentum took him forward. I think he fell 3 yards.
A second and third effort so far by Walters and Siler in this game, running the football for Troy, have produced probably at least half of the yardage totaled by the two young men. They do not quit when running the ball on the ground for the Troy offensive attack. I formation, second man through, Walters gets the nod. He is gathered by two Sydney defenders at the 11, and he backpedals to the 9. Goal to go Troy, 9-yard line of Sydney. Got to think we'll see a forward pass right here.
Well, you would think, or some kind of a reverse type situation.
3:44 left opening period, still no score. Troy, a serious march down to the 8 of Sydney. One wide receiver left, two to the wide side of the field, the right. Snap back to Siler, half roll to the left. He keeps, and he tucks the football away, gets to the six, drags a black shirt with him to the four. Down he goes, and the Troy Trojans have a goal to go from the Sydney 3.5-yard line. Interesting play call by head coach Dan Gress of Troy. Kept it on the ground on third and goal from outside the eight. He got half of what Coach Gress needed.
Right.
Or maybe a little bit more than that. He's inside the four.
Well, if you ran it on third down, you're pretty much going to see a run on fourth down.
Got two tight ends employed, two receivers to the right. Siler fakes the handoff to Walters. I think the quarterback kept it, running right behind Walters. And my, oh my, a mammoth hole is created by Troy's offensive line. And Walters steps to the end zone for the score. Walters led the way. He didn't have to throw a block, though, Chuck.
No, that was a well-designed play right there.
And the Troy quarterback, Siler, on to add the PAT. Excellent kicker, 6'1", senior. He tries it with the left foot. Inside of 3 minutes to go, opening quarter. Kick by Siler. It's high. It's long. And it's twisting off to the right. Missed it. No good. Wow, it was right above the top of the right upright. And I think, Chuck, one official looking straight up had his eyes focused on it. And I think he determined the ball went through the right upright extended, and that's a miss.
That is a miss.
Yep. Score stands, Troy 6, Sydney nothing. 2:43 left, opening period on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance. And that's for sure. Barker Insurance. North County Road 25A in Sydney. Phone 492-1857.
This is Jack with Chuck, Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. I was informed during the week that the place kicker for Troy would be Braden Siler. However, he doesn't handle the PAT duties.
He didn't do that one.
Nope, that was Tucker Raske, and he missed it. It was extremely high and long, but sailed above the right post, and the officials deemed it went through the right upright extended, and that's a no. Ruled not good. And Sydney with a fine kickoff return of the Troy boot out to the 37. Sydney with good field position a second time. And now the Yellow Jackets, Chuck, need to answer, because Sydney's offensive ground game made a strong statement last possession.
Yeah, Sydney needs to move the football this time.
2:36 left, opening period. The Yellow Jackets with a tight formation look for quarterback Cedric Johnson on first and 10. Man in motion behind the formation. Inside handoff, Davis. Good offensive line execution by Sydney. Davis has got a crack, and he explodes for 7. Out to the 42 or 43, knee touchdown. A little short of the spot I thought he might get. A plus 5. Second and 5, Sydney, 42 of the Yellow Jackets, as we near the 2-minute mark of the first quarter.
Well, Nick Benshoff drove his man about 5 yards down the field that time from his tackle position.
Yellow Jackets will feature Lathan Jones, Darren Taborn, Quamir Brown at the wide receiver post. Here is Johnson faking the inside handoff to Davis. He elects to keep. The pitch option isn't there. Lathan Jones swung around behind Cedric, who finally put the ball on his hip and was buried back at the 39, a negative 2 or 3.
Yeah, nobody was fooled on that one. Good penetration that time by somebody. I don't have his number, so I can't give him your name.
Second down and 8, or I should say third down and 8 for Sydney. Shy of the Yellow Jackets, 40. Minute 25 to go first quarter. 6-0 Troy. Snap to Cedric in the shotgun. Fires middle of the field. Almost picked off at the 47. Pep Cedric was aiming for Lathan Jones, but three white-shirted Troy players were closest to the football. And Walters for Troy retreats to catch the Sydney punt. Walters backing to the 25. Dunham will have the wind behind him. His first kick was excellent. High snap. Dunham spears it. Boots away, soaring into the air. Walters retreating, backing up, wants to make a fair catch. He can't haul it in. It hits on the ground at the 16. The ball dances to the 10, the 9. Walters plops on it just in the nick of time. Troy backed up inside his 10-yard line,
yep,
thanks to a superb punt from Ryan Dunham,
yeah,
of Sydney.
Yeah, that time it was Weston Smith, and I'll tell you, I don't know if he's a basketball player, but the ball got away from him, and he dribbled it one time, and he was lucky enough for it to bounce back up to him. Those pointed balls don't usually come straight back up.
Nope, very rarely. Minute 7 left, opening quarter. Sydney's defense needs to get tough right here. Troy inside, it's 10. The quarterback, Siler, Walters alongside. And Walters gets the nod, and that beefy Troy group up front creates a cavity for him. And bolting through goes Walters over the 15 to the 17. A burst of 8. Final 50 seconds, opening quarter, 6-0 Troy. Briskly played initial 12 minutes.
Well, 15 offensive plays for Troy in the first quarter so far. Sydney's run 6.
Two wide receivers left. Running play. Troy to the outside. Good blocking. A missed tackle. Another one. And the run is good for a bunch up over the 25 near the 30. Did the quarterback, Siler, keep that one, Chuck?
Yes, he did.
Boy, it's 6'2 and 200 pounds. This senior signal caller for Troy is a load.
And only a junior.
Did I say senior? My mistake.
No, I'm just saying he's only a junior. They get to see him again next year.
Here is Siler. I think this quarterback for Troy is indeed a senior.
Is he?
Yeah. At the running play for the Trojans on 1st and 10 from the 35-yard line.
They got him as a junior in the program.
Interesting. I've got the Troy High School roster, which says he's a 12th grader.
Well, let's go with Troy.
I think he's a
senior. They probably know more about it than the Sydney people that came up with that.
Well, Walter scampered for about 3.5 for Troy to end the first period of play. 12 minutes in the books. Troy 6, Sydney nothing. When we return, Troy has a 2nd and 7 from its own 33 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Every single dish is delish, meal after meal after meal, at Maury's Landing Restaurant, Route 362 Minster, across from Lake Loramie.
Maury seems to excel at that. Consistent food, good meals, good prices.
How many years now have you been going to Maury's?
Basically since they opened the door, about 5 years.
Wow. Breakfast time, what do you like best?
Oh, it's got to be the Paradise Omelet.
And the fish at night?
I like the salmon. It's tough to beat.
Everything on Maury's menu is a winner, and families like Maury's too.
We had a tenderloin sandwich,
uh-huh,
a margarita barbecue sandwich,
yeah,
a chicken cordon bleu sandwich, and my son had a cheeseburger, french fries, and applesauce.
How much did it cost? What'd you pay for a family four here at Maury's?
We spend about $35.
A good deal.
And we come here about 6 or 7 times a month.
You just get more at Maury's Landing, Route 362, Minster.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System, your radio on the phone for high school sports. We commence the second quarter, Troy 6, Sydney nothing. First period, Chuck, all Trojans.
98 total yards for the Trojans and 3 for Sydney.
And here is Walters barreling right up the gut. He blasts over the 35, the 40. The ball down at the 42. Sydney Yellow Jackets not laying a hand on Siler or Walters. The two are effectively running the football for Troy, and they're getting 6-7 yards downfield before meeting resistance. 10 seconds into the second quarter. First and 10 Trojans at their own 42-yard line. So many thanks to our great anchor underwriting sponsors tonight, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Route 25A, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. Troy running on first and 10. It produces eight and a half more yards.
Jeez. They're doing whatever they want right now. There's absolutely no penetration by the Sydney front line.
Yellow Jackets defensively gave up ground grudgingly for three quarters against Fairborn last week. But Troy right now, after only 1 yard on the Trojans' opening series, the Trojans have piled up well over 100 since. But this play, a rush from scrimmage by Troy, is met solidly behind the line at the 49, a setback of a yard and a half, third and better than three to go for the Trojans. That was Ryan Cagle. He is a tackle machine for Sydney.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him.
He led the wave of black shirts to stuff the ball carrier, Walters. Third down, a little over three to go for the Trojans. Shy of the Troy 49. 90 seconds gone here in the second quarter. And we've got a pre-snap foul. Unfortunately, it's against the Yellow Jackets. Automatic first down for the visiting team.
See, I don't get the high school rule because there was no contact. The ball wasn't snapped. Why doesn't he have a chance to get back?
I like that comment.
I'd have to ask somebody.
Snap back to Seiler on first and 10. Trojans weaving line of scrimmage, and he pops it to the outside near hash mark 40, legs it to the Sydney 38. He's got seven or eight more. Second down and three. And we'll have to get the official ruling on defensive offsides. I thought it was a case of having to be contact helmet to helmet.
Or the ball snapped while they're in the neutral zone.
Exactly. If you get back out of that neutral zone in time, why shouldn't you be okay? End sweep to the right by the Trojans. Sydney, a good job stretching it out. And it's Seiler, the quarterback for Troy, wedging to the far hash mark. He netted one. Third and two, Trojans. 9:40 left, second quarter. This game is moving along at a very fast clip.
Nobody's throwing. There's been four passes in the game, two incompletions.
6-0 Trojans inside the Sydney 40. Two receivers to the left for the quarterback, Seiler. Here is the give to Walters. We've got an offensive hold on Troy. Walters powers up the middle. He churns those legs inside the 35 of Sydney, but the first down run will be waved off. It's coming back. Offensive lineman for Troy signaled out by the lead official on the field.
Well, those kids are so big, they're not going to hide anything.
No. Center Riley Hubbard, 6 feet, 254, a senior, guilty of the hold for the Trojans. They now confront third and 12 from the 48 of Sydney. The Yellow Jackets have got to be formidable here on defense and force Troy into a fourth and long and probably a punting situation. Snap back to Seiler, fakes the inside handoff, looks right side of the field, is thrown low for Standifer inside the 30-yard line at the 26 or 7. It skipped to him on a bounce, incomplete.
Yep, he had a chance to just throw it out there to him, and for some reason he kind of short-armed it a little bit.
Staniford was in the vicinity, a 6'4", 180-pound senior, as was Josh Mayfield, a 6'1", 179-pound sophomore for Troy. Neither one caught the football, and the Trojans elect to go for it on 4th and 13 from the Sydney 48.
Might be a quick kick.
Snap back to Seiler, and he boots with the left. It's high in the air, dropping at the 10. It is bounding to the goal line. It gets in for a touchback, a break for Sydney. Trojans were in pursuit, couldn't catch up to it.
Well, he was about 2 yards farther back than he normally is in his shotgun, so that's why I read that was going to be a quick kick.
Good observation, Chuck. As it turned out, the net is only 28 plus for Troy.
Yeah, well, I could have seen him going for it just for the fact that Sydney's really not moved the ball at all.
Right.
But also, if you could have pinned them back inside the five, that would have given you real good field position.
Oh, yeah. 8:50 to go, second quarter. Sydney, which has failed to move the ball yet in this game, has a first and 10 from its own 20. It is E.J. Davis trying to crack the right guard slot, and he is pushed down at the 21. Maybe a yard and a half effort by Davis. Second down, a little more than 8 to go for Sydney, with 8.5 remaining here in the second period.
The offensive line is getting zero push on this defensive line of Troy.
We'll keep our eyes on scores, especially those involving Shelby County and Mac schools. Layman Catholic playing on the road tonight at Hardin Northern in a big game in the NWCC. Layman Catholic trying to go to 4-3 on the year. Short drop of Johnson, fakes the left-handed pass and keeps. He skips to the outside, roams beyond the numbers into the Sydney sideline. He's tossed down at the 32-yard line. Hey, I like that spontaneous play by Cedric. He's got the first down.
Yeah, I mean, that was not the play call, but there was nothing open. And when he cut to the other side, I mean, that's what the kid's got is some real quickness.
Mr. Ad-Lib, Cedric Johnson, with a rush to the outside for 11, first and 10 Yellow Jackets at their own 31. Actually gained more like just 10 on the play, but good enough for a first. Move the chains.
Rockets have a 7-0 lead in the first quarter.
On the road at Fort Recovery is Anna. In fact, we'll see the Rockets next week at Booster Field against Coldwater in an all-important MAC confrontation. Sydney on first and 10, rushes for 1. Second down and 9, Yellow Jackets at their own 32. We played 5 minutes in the second quarter already. Troy 6, Sydney nothing. Chuck, I think my pregame comment about the fact we'd be hard-pressed to reach the 40-point average for the winning team.
Yeah.
That's the winning score of the last 4 years. Not going to happen here in 2019. Cedric wants to throw. Out pattern wide of his intended receiver as he tried to zero in with Darren Taborn at the 40. Had he managed arms a good 5-6 feet longer, Darren might have been able to reel that ball in, but no chance.
That was a timing play, and if you haven't been taking your reps all year,
right,
that's tough. Anna's up 20-7 now in the first quarter. Minster's up 7-0, and they're playing St. Henry.
Right. So it's 3rd and 9. Clock stopped on the incompletion. 6:55 left in the second. 6-0 Troy. Here's Cedric Johnson back to throw, looking once, twice, three times. Under duress now. Roams out of the pocket and finds a wide-open receiver. Quamir Brown hit the 37-yard line. He's off to the races for a touchdown, but he's ruled by the official to have stared the football in the on the white stripe, the boundary. I don't know, Chuck. It looked like he was 6 inches in.
Well,
and the referee out on the field of play at the numbers made the call. He simply did not have a good angle.
How could he possibly see that he stepped on? Well, I'm looking right down on top of it, and he looked like he was in.
Oh, no, this is really weird.
Well, they gave him the completion. They said he stepped out of bounds.
No way. Uh-uh. No. His foot went straight forward.
Absolutely.
His foot went straight forward.
What a terrible call.
That's a blown call. It should have been a touchdown pass of, what, about 60 yards from Johnson to Quamir Brown. Troy went for the pick, didn't get it. Quamir went up and speared it. And there is a delay down in the field. Unfortunately, we're not going to New York for a review, which would turn out positive for Sydney.
We need to talk to Dean Blandino. Is that his name? I don't know. I just kind of made that up.
Coach Dan Gress on the side for Troy wants an explanation because at first blush, I thought, well, the official was calling Quamir Brown for being out of bounds when he caught it.
Where was the official that is the linesman on this side? Why didn't he? He's the one that's going to make that call whether he's out of bounds or not.
Exactly. Here's a deep handoff on the play to E.J. Davis, and he's swarmed behind the line. He is covered up, blanketed back at the 45. Let's see where forward progress is marked. A new line of scrimmage is going to be at the Troy 41.
running plays right now for Sydney are non-existent.
Zilch on
they've
yardage.
They got 10 yards on a quarterback run after the defense broke down on a pass play.
Not generating a thing on the ground is Sydney. Second and 13, Yellow Jackets at the Troy 41 with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Cedric with a deep snap. Deep drop as well. Hey, it's a well-executed screen. It is caught in the left flat by Lathan Jones. Look at him go. He spins upfield to the 35-30, tossed down at the 28. The play goes for 14. It's enough for a first by a yard.
What a great call that was.
We might see that one once or twice more tonight. First and 10, Sydney at the Troy 28, 5:50 left in the second quarter, 6-0 Trojans, Yellow Jackets on the march.
Well, that's what we talked about. You got these great athletes, Jones being one of them. Get him in space, let him catch it, and make a play, and that's exactly what he did that time.
Receivers left and right. Here comes Lathan to the near side. Snap back to Cedric. And it's E.J. Davis getting the call. He barges up the middle, meets resistance at the 23, then he shoved back. But he produced five on first down. 5:19 to go second quarter. 6-0 Troy. Sydney threatening outside the 20. Boy, go back to that pass completion to Brown. Chuck, I could see from here.
Oh, he was inbounds. There's no way he was out of bounds.
He was inbounds by half the width of a foot. There was green between his shoe and the white boundary. And the official was a good, 10 yards on the field of play trying to make that call.
He was at the hash marks.
Yeah. No chance. Snap back to Cedric. Fakes the flat pass. Throws. Wide open receiver. Down in the five. Down inside the five. Lathan Jones with a twisting reception. And then he dives into the end zone for the touchdown. He had the defensive back beat. Oh, Cedric with a nice little bit of play action offensive backfield. And then after not giving the ball to Davis, he faked the flat pass on the play to Quamir Brown. And then dealt it to Lathan Jones for the six.
They had nobody within 15 yards of Jones. I think I'd know where he was.
Big extra point here. Hallie Truesdale will try to give Sydney the lead. She knocked home a field goal in three PATs last week. Here's the kick by Hallie. It is on the way after a good snap, a good hold. The placement is on the money. Truesdale gives Sydney a one-point lead. 7-6. Yellow Jackets got the touchdown anyway.
Yes, they did.
4:44 left, second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the 5-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A Furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
Oh, so many thanks here on scoresbroadcast.com to these additional underwriting sponsors. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Goffney Furniture in Sydney, from which you just heard. Go to the website for more savings, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Go Goffney. Frisch is in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing? John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. He gives you his best shot. The in-between, just south of Botkins, where the food's not in-between, it's out of this world. And the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, vets helping vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. Speak to Chris North at 498-7282. And in Rushi, the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, it will make your gift ideas come to life. Additional underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com include Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney, Dan Eilerman Construction in Fort Loramie, and Maury's Landing Restaurant in Minster near Lake Loramie. LaTroy returns Sydney's kickoff to the 35, and Seiler on a quarterback keeper on first and 10 puts his head down and pushes for only one. Second and 9, Trojans, 4:18 left second quarter, 7-6 Sydney, and justice was served, Chuck. The Yellow Jackets got the touchdown despite the blown call by the referee.
Yeah, but it just took them a few plays longer, but they got the first, and Truesdale came in and gave them the lead.
Indeed. Halley with three extra points and a field goal last week, and that PAT right there putting Sydney on top. But here's a flat pass by Seiler, wide open receiver, blown coverage by Sydney, reception at the 45, and a run after catch of another 15 down to the Sydney 40-yard line. Well done on the play.
Yeah, that was a well-designed play. There was absolutely nobody out there.
And that was Huker, the wide receiver who made the catch and run. And here is Seiler on first and 10 from the 40-yard line of Sydney. He puts his head down and bucks to the 36. Second and 6, Cagle on the hit again for the Yellow Jackets. 3.5 to go here in the second quarter. Sydney 7, Troy 6.
Cagle playing himself into a Clancy's player of the game.
He's been outstanding. One of the top two or three leading tacklers all year long in the Miami Valley League. We approach the three-minute mark. Two tight ends employed. Snap back to Seiler, looking to throw. Keeps, runs to the line of scrimmage. Jitterbugs his way, a little hesitant. It puts his nose down and struts down to about the 32. Finally met resistance from Sydney. That was about as easy a 6 or 7 yard run by a quarterback as you'll ever see.
He's a strong kid. I mean, he just kind of danced around out there, and as soon as they had three guys hit him, and he still picked up 3 yards.
Third and 2 or 3 to go for Troy outside the Sydney 30. 2.5 to go in the second quarter. 7-6 Sydney. Staggered formation alongside the quarterback, Seiler, who deals to Walters, who backpedals, and he is flattened at about the 26 or 7 of Sydney, but it's good enough for a first down. Clay Carter in there on the tackle for the Yellow Jackets. Troy moving the football.
Plenty of time with three timeouts. The clock is not a factor in this drive.
Two receivers each side for Seiler. Sydney showing a 7-man defensive front. And the run play by the Troy Trojans in the form of Seiler, the quarterback, nets 3 or 4 inside the 25 or the 24 of the Yellow Jackets. 6 timeouts remain, each team with its full complement of 3. And the clock is working its way down to 1:45 to go in the second quarter. About as fast a play to first half in a high school football game as you'll ever have.
It's only 7:39.
Two receivers to the right. Seiler steps forward, then steps back and throws middle of the field. It is Austin Staniford, yes, in the end zone. He's got it 6 yards deep, uncovered, available by his lonesome. As Seiler with a little dipsy-doo in the offensive backfield, juke like he might run, and then it was a post pattern, middle of the gridiron, and Sydney was not around in the secondary.
Well, he came out of the slot, and they ran somebody down the field, which took the cornerback with him, and then he ran, like you said, the little slant across, and the safety didn't get there.
And now Troy's got a dilemma with 1:33 to go in the second quarter, leading 12-7. Is it too early to go for 2 if you're the Trojans? Do you try to go up 7, or are you happy with 6?
I'll tell you in just a minute.
I think you go up 2. With a ground attack like the Trojans have, and the way Seiler can throw it.
3 yards. I think I can get 3 yards.
Yeah, what's the Trojans' average been tonight per play? 6, 7?
Yeah. Easy.
No doubt. Barker Insurance, just south of Anna, north of Sydney, one of our fine long-term underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. We love to talk about Barker. It's earned a reputation for being second to none in the insurance business in the region. Barker Insurance will customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program for you. You're covered with a plan fitting your needs perfectly when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. County Road 25A, a mile north of I-75, number one, Barker Insurance at 492-1857, 492-1857. Trojans go for two and a 14-7 lead. Siler's way back at the 15. He's running for his life. Back up toward the line of scrimmage. A belated bullet pass in the end zone is off the palm of the hand of a receiver. No good. It was pitched behind him. Sidney put the pressure on the quarterback, Siler, and stopped the two-point conversion, and the score remains 12-7.
Yeah, it wasn't going to count anyway. They had linemen downfield.
Minute 33 left, second quarter. Chuck will take a break. Troy Trojans 12, Sydney Yellow Jackets 7 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaCal Equipment and Jackson Center, a founding sponsor here on scoresbroadcast.com. LaCal supplies parts for street sweepers, highway mowers, refuse collectors, and salt spreaders, for example. Its roots date back to 1947 in L.A., California, thus the name LaCal. And the present corporation was established in Jackson Center in 1982. Locally, LaCal Equipment is pleased to promote high school scholarships, and scoresbroadcast.com was conceived 14 years ago, thanks to support from LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center. Here's the kickoff return by Sydney following the touchdown by Troy, and it's E.J. Davis running all over the field laterally, going east, west, back to the east, and he makes a whole bunch out of very little. He was down inside his 20 at the 16, scooted to the near numbers, then raced to the far numbers. There may be a marker down. He wound up dashing to the 50, a net of about, 35, although he ran wildly some 60, 70 yards all over the gridiron.
Well, when you reverse field like this, and this new blindside block, which in the Ohio State game was the worst call I've seen all season, that one really was. He just about knocked the kid's head off.
Yeah, that was a legitimate call by the official enabling the return man for Sydney.
It was Keenan Johnson, and I'll tell you what, he got his yardage worth. He took the kid's head off.
And he did get his money's worth on that illegal block, forcing Sydney to retreat way back inside its own 20. A minute 17 in the clock. Troy leads Sydney by a count of 12-7.
Well, the difference is now they're probably going to have to be really conservative. Out around midfield, they could have taken a shot to try to get the lead back.
Keep in mind, Sydney does receive the third quarter kickoff.
Yeah, so I don't see them doing anything too crazy down here.
Now, Troy does have two timeouts remaining, and Sydney runs between right tackle and guard, and it generates about 7 or 8 after the 20-yard line. Sydney's got three timeouts left, Troy a couple. Again, Sydney won the toss before the start of the game, deferred to the second half. Sydney kicked to Troy to open the festivities tonight. So Sydney will receive the third quarter boot. Sydney in offense, 45 seconds to go, second quarter, clock running. Hand off to E.J. Davis, goes right tackle, no room there. Swings it back to the left, reverses his field, and he twists and turns up the left hash. He splashed down at the 33 or 4. A couple of white shirts pinned him. Another first down, Sydney. Clock at 38.7. And as the chain is advanced, the clock halts. Sydney elects to take a timeout. Chuck, let's take a breather here, and we'll talk about one of our fine underwriting sponsors on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
That's us.
Brookins in Fort Loramie, well known for its juicy broasted chicken dinners, plus many savory sandwiches and cheesy and meaty homemade pizza. And that special on Saturday night features two delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops. Owner Carl Arnes, in his second year, creates a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. You'll enjoy that new late-night menu open till 2:30 a.m. Thursday through Saturday. Brookins, perfect for anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60. You can't beat Brookins, 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie. Like them on Facebook. Go to the web, Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S, pub.com. No good eating place like Brookins in Fort Loramie. 33 ticks left on the clock. Here's a deep drop by Cedric Johnson. He runs out of the pocket. He zooms up the left side of the field. A mad dash to the boundary. Out of bounds at the 50 with 26.6 to go. And, Chuck, it may be time for a couple of Hail Mary attempts.
Well, they've still got two timeouts, 26 seconds. I mean, they can still run a couple of normal plays here.
Uh-huh. Xenia leads Piqua 20-0 in the second quarter. Xenia, a much-improved program here in 2019. And, Chuck, I see some rain blowing in fairly steadily now from the south.
Yeah, it is raining a little bit.
Sydney moving against the wind, which appears to have switched a little bit here. Deep drop, but Johnson in trouble, nearly corralled for a loss. And now he's hemmed in. Down he goes at the 40, a setback of 9 seconds, flashing away on the scoreboard, 14, 13, 12.
Yeah, you just go ahead and get out of the rain right
sure.
now and get the ball to start the third quarter.
Indeed. Sydney will receive the second-half kickoff. Second quarter comes to a close. Very quickly played initial two periods. Here tonight at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field in Sydney. Troy Trojans 12, Sydney Yellow Jackets 7 at halftime on scorersbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Digman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Digman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Digman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaCalle Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCalle supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCalle Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
The gem in Rushi, Ohio is the Jewelry Barn. Jolene Renderly and her staff are certified by the Gemological Institute of America.
Our Jewelry Barn is quite unique. The Jewelry Barn offers a wide variety of costume jewelry and high-end jewelry. We have a wide variety of engagement rings.
And located among cornfields on the eastern edge of Rushi, the Jewelry Barn is known as the gem of Rushi.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's what our customers call us. It's a repeat business, and they come from all over. It's great.
The Jewelry Barn at 2399 Rushi Versailles Road.
Just a nice little shop.
Jack with Chuck, Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee, Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field, where a blowing rainstorm has engulfed the gridiron here at halftime. It is traveling south to north, and you can see waves of rain being ushered in by the breeze from the south end of Sydney Memorial Stadium. Halftime brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. Wilson Health is the official sports medicine provider for 12 area high schools, including Sydney, Layman Catholic, Fort Loramie, Anna, Houston, Fairlawn, Christian Academy, Jackson Center, Botkins, New Bremen, Minster, and New Knoxville. Certified athletic trainers work with high school athletic programs to provide on-site services for student athletes. 12-7, Troy leads Sydney at the halftime break. A look at the numbers, Chuck. Troy dominating on the ground.
Well, they're dominating the stats, but luckily for Sydney, not the score. Troy ran the ball 25 times for 130 yards, 3 of 6 passing for 63, 193 total. Sydney ran the ball 13 times for 43 yards, 4 of 6 throwing the ball for 58 yards. He did a nice job throwing the ball, 101 total yards, 8 first downs for the Trojans, 5 for the Yellow Jackets, 1 penalty against Sydney for 5 yards, 2 against Troy for 20 yards. Neither team's turned the ball over in the first half.
That's our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine. Sydney down by 5, 12-7 to Troy, which missed both PATs, a kick and a two-point conversion effort. Sydney's got the one long pass for a touchdown to Lathan Jones and the successful PAT from Hallie Truesdale. 12-7 Troy, thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine here at halftime on scoresbroadcast.com.
Early in her freshman basketball season in 2016, Fort Loramie's Marissa Meiring suffered a serious knee injury. But in just 6 months, thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine, Marissa, now a senior, was healthy and back in the game. Listen now to another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story, as told by Marissa's parents, Betsy and Kevin Meiring.
It was practice on December 15th when our daughter Marissa went down with a knee injury. Wilson Health Sports Medicine stepped in, assessed the knee injury as a complete ACL tear and a meniscus tear. It was a little devastating to hear as she started off her freshman year so strong.
However, Ryan Castle, Wilson Health Sports Medicine athletic trainer, played a major role in Marissa's full recovery.
There's so many great things that I can say about Ryan. He was just fantastic. He was there supporting Marissa every step of the way, from her injury to the assessment to surgery to rehab all the way to her full recovery.
And successful surgery on Marissa's knee was performed by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matthew Heckler.
Marissa's surgeon, Dr. Heckler, was terrific. We had full confidence in him. He was just so compassionate and caring toward Marissa. I'll never forget the day in his office when he gave her the diagnosis of the ACL tear. Of course, she was in tears, and Dr. Heckler handed her a box of Kleenex and said, "It's going to be okay. I'm going to get you fixed up and we'll get you back on the court."
Marissa responded. After a solid sophomore basketball season, she excelled as a junior. She was named Girls Shelby County Player of the Year, First Team All Southwest District, and Special Mention All Ohio.
We're so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is Jack with Chuck. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Just as soon as the heavy rain started, it quit. Not a lot of showers on the radar. We may catch a lucky break and only see some rain during the halftime festivities, Chuck.
Look, that's what it looks like. It's only raining over Sydney right now.
Uh-huh. Well, last week, Jeff Bray and Mike Wick were on hand here on scoresbroadcast.com as Sydney won a thriller 24-17 over the Fairborn Skyhawks. Outstanding win for the Yellow Jackets, who were up by as many as 14 in that game, led by 8 with under 2 to go in the fourth. Fairborn Skyhawks were driving inside the Sydney 40. We pick up the action. Here's Jeff Bray on the call.
17-9, Jackets up by 8. Fairborn needs a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie. Seacrest, he's up under center this time, man in motion. It's a handoff. Warner, and he's met in the backfield immediately by Yellow Jacket defender Keenan Johnson. Warner did slip away from him, but he was able to go nowhere as he fell to the ground. Keenan Johnson with a huge defensive play right there on first down.
And I think that slowed him down enough that maybe there was some reinforcements that came in.
Exactly what happened. Keenan Johnson might have just made the defensive play of the quarter right there on Hunter Warner. I formation. It's Warner again with the handoff, and he trudges down to the Jacket 36, and it's going to be third down. Clock moving, 2:22 to play. Sydney leads 17-9. Third down and 7 now for the Skyhawks from the Sydney 36. The Jackets defense, who's done a nice job tonight, has to stand and pass one more test. Seacrest back to pass. He finds a receiver wide open, and he is nailed out of bounds and knocked out of bounds. Darren Taborn with lights out tackle, but the catch was made, and it's good for a first down. So, wow, what a nice pass by Seacrest. He found his receiver, hit him on the money. The catch was made, and as soon as he turned to go upfield, Taborn was right there to stop him and knock him out of bounds. It does stop the clock, though, with an even 2 minutes to play. Fairborn now with the ball at the Sydney 28. First and 10. Seacrest back to pass. He's looking left side. He's got a man open. It's caught, and it's Warner, and he gets by one man, and then he's brought down at the jacket 20, but that's going to be good for 8 more yards. Call it a second and 2 for the Skyhawks from the Sydney 20. Clock at 1:42 and running. Fairborn trails the Jackets by 8, 17-9. Skyhawks need a touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie. Cameron Hamilton's in the backfield. He takes a handoff from Seacrest. He gets by one man. He turns upfield. He gets down inside the 15 to the 12-yard line, and that will move the chains again with a minute 25 to go. Cameron Hamilton with a nice run that time. The big 6-foot, 205-pound junior was able to turn upfield and get some positive yards. First down and 10 now. Fairborn from the jacket 14. Shotgun back to pass to Seacrest. He's looking in the end zone. He looks, he fakes a pass. Nobody there, and he runs, and then he tries a shuffle pass at the last minute to an intended receiver, Hunter Warner, but the Jackets had it defended well, and he threw it out of bounds. Basically, he just had to throw it away. Smart play, though, by Seacrest to not take a sack and to not throw an interception. That does stop the clock with 1:07 left to go. Second and 10 for Fairborn from the Sydney 13. Sydney leads 17-9, an 8-point advantage with a minute 7 on the clock, and the Skyhawks still do have one timeout remaining. Fairborn in the huddle. The Sydney defenders with hands on hips. It looks like they're a little bit winded from this drive, but they need to stand strong right here in this last minute and 7 seconds. Seacrest has Hamilton in the backfield. He goes back to pass. Here's a pass. Wide open. It caught inside the 5 and down to the 2-yard line is Patrick Parrish, a 6'2", 160-pound junior, and that moves the chains, and I'm telling you, Mike, we are down to the 2-yard line, and the Jackets defenders have their backs to the wall. 53 seconds and counting. Fairborn lines up at the jacket 2, first and goal, trailing Sydney by 8 at 17-9. Here's a handoff, and it's Hunter Warner, and he's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Skyhawks, and 42.2 seconds left on the clock, and Fairborn has drawn within 2 points of the Yellow Jackets. Big 2-point conversion coming up here. Boy, Sydney, who has played superior defense all night long, gives up a long, sustained drive with a score at the end of it. Boy, and did Randy Kearns ever put together a nice drive on offense that time. His Skyhawks never panicked. They stayed calm. They ran the plays and executed very, very well. And this is going to be a huge, huge 2-point conversion attempt. It's going to be a 2-point conversion. There's 42.2 seconds left on the clock. Sydney leads Fairborn 17-15. Fairborn needs this 2-point conversion to tie this game, and the Jacket crowd down below is making some noise. Here's the handoff. It's to Cameron Hamilton, and he gets in. He scores. He's good on the 2-point conversion, and we are tied at 17 apiece. Wow. What a drive by Fairborn to make a good comeback and then executed a 2-point conversion. Game's not over. 42.2 seconds to go, and Sydney does have all 3 timeouts left. Note, though, that on the last possession that the Yellow Jackets were out there, Ryan Dunham was on the sideline with a wrist injury. It's sophomore Cedric Johnson that's calling the quarterback plays for the Yellow Jackets. My guess is on this kickoff here, Mike, that Fairborn will probably try to kick it away from anybody that would be a threat to return the football, like Quamir Brown or E.J. Davis or Lathan Jones. Any one of those are dangerous return men for the Yellow Jackets. back to kick the football is Patrick Parrish. It's in the air, and it's a short kick. It's caught up by the 23-yard line. Sydney with a return to the 30, to the 34, and out of bounds there. So the Jackets are going to have the ball first and 10 from their own 34 with 38 seconds left and all three timeouts remaining. We're tied at 17 apiece, Sydney and Fairborn. Exciting high school football action here on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S. We are your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. We'll see how Coach Adam Dungis decides to play this. Will he be aggressive and try to put together a drive here in 38 seconds to go for the win, or will he be conservative and see what happens in overtime? He's got trips near side, one far side. Cedric is back to pass. He finds a short man. It's caught. It's E.J. Davis. He's across the 35, the 40, to the 43, and he's brought down right there. And Sydney's going to have to call a timeout to stop the clock with 28.9 seconds to go. Remember, it's sophomore Cedric Johnson at quarterbacking for the Jackets. Davis in the backfield. Quamir Brown and Jones are trips. Here's a snap to the shotgun. Pressure coming. He gets away. Johnson's going to have to run it. Across the 40, 45, 50 to the 48 and knocked out of bounds. And a nice stop on the play by Karen Brunette for the Skyhawks on the play. Cedric Johnson in the shotgun.
Davis
in the backfield. And the snap goes to Johnson. It's a pass. And it's caught. And then it's a ladder. It's a hook and lateral. Davis has it. Down to the 20, 15, 10, 5. He stretches across the goal line. And he scores! Oh, my goodness. The Yellow Jackets pull off a hook and ladder. Lateral play. Johnson hit Quamir Brown. He lateraled it to Davis, who scooted down the sidelines. Fairborn wasn't able to catch up with him until he got to the goal line. He dove across the goal line as a tackle was being made, stretched the football across the goal line. Sydney scores the touchdown with 9.5 seconds to go. The Jackets lead 23-17. I told you Adam Dungis probably had a trick up his sleeve.
Yes, he did.
Wow, what an exciting play by the Jackets. On a hook and ladder lateral play. Pass to Quamir Brown. He lateraled it to E.J. Davis, and he flew down the near sideline. Looked like he might was going to get caught right before the end zone. Defender got to him, but it was just a hair too late as he stretched the ball across the goal line, scored the touchdown, and the Jackets take a 23-17 lead. Cedric Johnson's going to be the holder. Hallie Truesdale will attempt the very important extra point. Here's the snap. Back to Johnson, the hold, the kick, it's up, it's perfect. Truesdale puts it through the uprights, and the Jackets tack on the extra point. Here we go, Seacrest, back to pass. He hits Dwight Lewis, catches it, runs out of bounds, stops the clock with 2.8 seconds to go, and the ball's up to the 39-yard line. Seacrest, back to pass. He's looking downfield. He lets it fly. Yellow Jackets have it defended well, and it's picked off, and that's going to be your ball game.
That was the old ball game, and it took a pitch and ladder from the Fairborn, or I should say from the Sydney Yellow Jackets, to beat Fairborn a week ago. What a play. Cedric Johnson, Lathan Jones, E.J. Davis, that was the combo that hooked up on it. A great call by head coach Adam Dungis. Fine call by Jeff Bray of scoresbroadcast.com. And Sydney pulled it out of the fire by a score of 24-17 last week over Fairborn. Tonight we are late in our halftime program. 12-7, Troy leads Sydney about 6 or 7 minutes away from the start of the third quarter. Trojans up by 5. As Chuck noted several minutes ago, Troy has dominated this game statistically, but not so much on the scoreboard. It's only a 5-point deficit facing the home team.
Sydney's got a shot. I mean, I would like to see they ran the ball a little bit better the second quarter.
Yep.
I really was impressed with the way he throws the ball.
Go to Goffney at 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney for high-quality furniture priced right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered. The highest quality furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and youth bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and more. We are priced to fit your budget with finance options and easy application. Goffney can also find you a perfect fitting mattress by using the new innovative Support Report system. Come in and try it. You will feel the results. Visit our showroom with hundreds of room layouts, new inventory of furniture always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney, just west of I-75 and Route 47. Go Goffney, we've got you covered. Well, the Layman Catholic Cavaliers are trailing Hardin Northern, right, Chuck? 7-0.
7-0 was the last score I got, yes. But that was early.
Yeah, that was late first quarter, early second. We may have mistakenly reported that Layman led 20-0. That was, in fact, the Fort Loramie score. Redskins were up 20-0 in the second period. Layman at last report down by a count of 7-0. We spoke with offensive coordinator Bill Zimmerman of Layman Catholic earlier in the week, and he talked about his club this year. Three losses to start, then three fine wins. A number of programs in the NWCC in the same predicament this year, like Layman. Low numbers of players on the roster.
Our smallest team to date, I think, Jack, in school history. We're playing with 24 of those. I think only 21 or 22 are healthy. But yeah, we're not alone in that predicament. I know that when we played Elgin this last week, they dressed under 20. I know that when we played Riverside a couple weeks back, they were under 30. I don't know if any team in our league has more than 30 players that they dress at any one night.
Wow.
Yeah, which is just crazy. But from my understanding, from some things I've heard around the state, you know, it's kind of a statewide problem. I can tell you when we played Parkway, who's obviously in the toughest small school conference probably in the United States, that they only had 33 kids. So it's a problem that I think everybody's dealing with nowadays, and it's just something we're going to have to persevere through.
Hey, the top receiver in the state for last weekend in Division VII high school football may have been Brendan O'Leary. What, 8 catches, over 25 yards per catch? What are this young man's assets, his skills, his characteristics, his attributes?
Yeah, he took that game over, Jack. He had over 220, 230 yards receiving. Second time this year he's had that same stat. He has 11 touchdowns. He has almost 775 yards receiving. I think he's top 10 in the state, all divisions in receiving yardage right now.
Wow.
He's he's got everything you want in a receiver. He's tall and lanky. He's about 6'1". He can jump out of the gym. He can go up and get it with one or two hands. He had a couple of one-handers this last week that were just crazy. And he's got top-notch speed. You know, he's a state qualifier in the 300-meter hurdles from last year. So he has every attribute, and he's, I would say, borderline impossible to cover one-on-one.
And R.J. Bertini is starting to really feel it at quarterback. He does make some mistakes. He's going through some growing pains. But he's the young man on your roster for this job, without a doubt.
He is. He is. You're absolutely right. You know, at the beginning of the year, we were trying everybody there. We were trying the O'Leary boy there and a couple other seniors, because we didn't really have a true quarterback coming off of losing Elliot Gilardi, who was an all-stater the last couple years. And so RJ has been working very hard at it, and I can finally say he's become a quarterback. He's no longer an athlete playing quarterback. He's now a quarterback. He listens well. He's very coachable. He's a good leader. And for the first time all year, last week we had no turnovers. So we're progressing in that area as well. And it's great to see.
Johnny Edwards, this young man does about everything you ask him to do as well.
He does. He's probably truly a running back, but we have him playing guard just out of necessity. He played running back in junior high. He's only a sophomore. He's our middle linebacker. He's the leader of our defense. He leads our team in tackles. He's a kid that will just knock your block off. Last week, we did go into our hands team return because of the way that Elgin was kicking the ball off, and they kicked it to Johnny, and he returned it about 65, 70 yards to the opposing team's 15-yard line, I think. So, yeah, he can do it all.
Bill Zimmerman, offensive coordinator, Layman Catholic Cavaliers, our guest here at the half of high school football. 3-3 by way of record. Could be as strong as 4-2, maybe even 5-1, yet at 3-3 in a fairly weak region of Division 7. You're right in the playoff picture. Maybe more importantly right now, you've got a series of league games coming up. You can win the Northwest Central Conference outright. It's all in your hands.
Yeah, we told our kids after that tragic loss to Graham, that we were 0-3, that our goals were still in front of us.
Sure.
We could still win a league title.
Yeah.
We can still go to the playoffs. And those are the goals coming in. And so far, we have three wins in a row. We believe that if we win out, obviously, we're going to win a league title. And we believe we'll be in the playoffs. So the kids are optimistic. That win versus Riverside, I think, just turned the tide. It was a triple overtime win. And it was just, it's completely changed the outlook of our team. So it's been great.
And your Week 7 opponent, Hardin Northern, a pesky club.
They are. They're quality. They're well coached. They were a doormat for a little while. They lost their varsity program for a year or two after, mm-hmm. you know, winning state title 15 years ago.
Yep, yep.
And some of the coaching staff that was involved with that state title run is back. And they got these guys playing well. They're 4-2 right now, and they're a formidable opponent.
What's it like practicing with so few numbers? How do you modify?
Bill Zimmerman, offensive coordinator. Excuse me, easy for me to say.
He's the offensive guru.
Yeah, right, in short, offensive coordinator, Layman Catholic Cavaliers, who went on to say, Chuck, that his coaching staff is extremely creative during practices. They actually have to play. The coaching staff at Layman actually throws the football, snaps the football, runs routes, does some dummy tackling every now and then. With numbers like that on your roster, you got no choice.
Well, when you hear him say that your best running back is your starting offensive guard, that tells you that you are trying to fit some pieces together.
Who returned a kickoff 65 yards.
Well, we saw him as a freshman last year.
Right.
The kid's an athlete.
Anyway, at last report, Layman was losing to Hardin Northern tonight by a score of 7-0. We'll try to update
you. I'm trying to get a halftime score on that one.
It's a big game in the NWCC. Layman 3-3, shooting for its fourth win of the season on the road against Hardin Northern tonight. We'll give you a progress report here momentarily. Rain has subsided. We've had the opening kickoff to start the third quarter here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Seconds into the second half, 12-7, Troy in the lead. Sydney returned the boot to the 34. Jackets face a second down and a little over six to go from their own 37. Statistically, game has been dominated thoroughly by Troy. Sydney's got the one lengthy touchdown pass for a score. Jackets within five. Troy has missed each conversion after the two touchdowns. And on second down and long, Sydney tries to run Davis on a sweep to the left. Good pursuit by Troy, which plops him to the ground at the 38 or 39. He might have wedged out a yard or two. Third and every bit of five for Sydney. Possession down just inside the Jackets 40. A little over 1 minute gone in the third quarter of this game. 12-7 Troy. Pretty important play. Sydney would like to get another first down to flop field position big time. If the Jackets have to punt from here, Troy's liable to get pretty good field position. Sydney would punt against the wind. And here is Davis, or I should say the quarterback Johnson in the offensive backfield. Pretty good pressure by Troy. A late pass in the flat bounces
right
to the intended receiver. It is no good, and Sydney's got to punt against the wind.
Well, that was a tough throw because he threw it a long ways. And to be on the run like that, going one way and try to throw it the other way, not surprising it came up short.
Here is Ryan Dunham, who did not start at quarterback tonight because of a shoulder injury sustained last week against Fairborn. The kick by Ryan against the wind, it's a low one. It hits at the 30, takes a big bounce to the deep man for the Trojans, who snares it at the 22 while signaling a fair catch, and that's where the Trojans begin. First down, 10 yards to go. You sense the way Troy has controlled the football, Chuck, on offense, the time it's consumed, and it's been a bunch of minutes. Sydney simply does not want to get two scores behind.
No.
Because Troy can eat up a third or a half a quarter on
easy,
offense.
Easy. Maybe a little more.
Right. Trojans to the line of scrimmage, and the offensive group features an outstanding line. Five athletic, beefy young men up front, tackle to tackle for the Trojans. And they have been spearheading these rushing attacks down the field for the Trojans all night long.
I think the officials are discussing dinner plans.
And it is Dan Gress, head coach of Troy, out on the field and near the numbers, far side, chatting with an official. Sydney coaching staff on the near side wants to know what's going on.
Well, he was the one that Adam started it. He was out there talking to the guy.
10:21 to go here in the third quarter. Troy 12, Sydney 7. So many thanks to our anchor underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. My question, Chuck, was how do you fair catch a punt when you feel it on one bounce? You can't fair catch a punt after it hops once, can you?
I don't know.
I don't think so. You got to catch it in the air to fair catch it. That's how Troy fielded the punt. It took a hop of 7 or 8 yards, and the Troy deep man, Walters, was signaling fair catch. He got away with it.
Well, I think what you can do is catch it and drop to a knee.
You can do that, but he did not do that.
No.
That was a bizarre play, to say the least. I think the officials missed it badly. They've blown at least two.
We've seen two pretty bad calls.
Uh-huh. Trojans to the line of scrimmage on first and 10 from the Troy 23. Styler fakes to Walters and keeps, and he legs out a four-yard run right up the middle. Our anchor underwriting sponsor is American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News. Timeout on the field, shaken up Trojan player, Troy up 5, just over 10 to play in the third on scoresbroadcast.com.
Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge, and that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGinc.com.
Many thanks to American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, previously located in Clayton. Owner Jason Meyer of Fort Loramie, thanks to him, all of his staff and associates at AAG Inc. in Fort Loramie. Second down and 6, Trojans in the offensive backfield. It is Walters who took the handoff from Seiler, and he's thrown down at the 25 or 26. Might have lost a yard. Third and long for Troy. Enormous play early in the third quarter coming up for Sydney's defense. Good pursuit by Taborn, who came up to greet the ball carrier. He sliced through from a secondary spot for Sydney, made a key tackle. 9.5 to go in the third quarter. Lengthy delay here by Troy. Play clock down to 13-12. Trojans to the line of scrimmage. Third and 7. Let's see if the quarterback, Siler, elects to throw. He's in the spread at his own 21. Half roll to the left. Good pressure by Sidney. He's nearly caught behind the line. Breaks out of contain. And look at Siler dash. He's motoring upfield. And he turned a loss of 3 or 4 yards into a gain on the play, Chuck, of about 13 or 14.
Wow. Yeah, he was dead to rights back there. They had him stopped.
Yeah, how he extricated himself from that tackle, I will never know. He's a big young man, shifty. The 6'2", keeps those legs churning. Superb play by the Troy quarterback. That's why he is number two in the Miami Valley League in rushing. 8:53 left in the third, 12-7 Troy, which has it at the Trojan 40. Siler deals Walters up the middle, slides a little left, gets an extra yard, nudging to the 45.
I mean, he gets about 5-6 yards a carry. I don't know if they run him enough.
Yes.
They didn't ask me.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, Siler totes it more. I'm like you. Walters gets it a little conservatively. I might feed him more often. Siler in the spread behind the line at the 40. Fake to Walters. Noah give to Walters. He's got some room to dance. He's at the line of scrimmage. He slides to the outside. He's to the far sideline. Beyond the numbers, out of bounds in the area of the Sidney 35. Good awareness by the running back Walters of Troy. Met resistance at the point of attack and sprung it wide. Serious threat posed by the Trojans, who converted a big 3rd and 7 a moment ago. New line of scrimmage is at the Sidney 34-yard line. Troy Trojans, Chuck, have got to be pushing 400 yards on the night right now.
Well, they had 200 at 193 at the half.
Is that all? Okay.
Yeah.
They're pushing 300.
Yeah, they definitely pushing 3. And so are 2 or 3 of their offensive linemen.
Man in motion right to left. And the ball given to the scat back, who tries to turn the corner. He's at the near hash mark, reverses his field. A couple flags fly in. It's got to be against the offense.
Yeah, it's got to be a hold, and now you got to make a decision.
Yeah, it's a -3 on the play. Huker wound up getting the ball for Troy, which tried a little razzle-dazzle. Trojans have been quite effective straight ahead. A little cute on that offensive effort. We've got a block in the back and a hold both on Troy. Sidney
okay,
declines one, takes the other.
They took the 15-yarder instead of the 10.
Yeah, and the ball is marked way back now at the 48 of Sidney. So it's first down all over again. First down and 23 yards to go for a first down. The infraction occurred a couple yards downfield, so it winds up being, from the line of scrimmage, a negative 13. Under 8 to go in the third quarter, Troy 12, Sidney 7. From inside the Sidney 48, two receivers to the far right, including Staniford. Short roll to the right by the quarterback, Siler. He finds a receiver who's inside the cornerback at the 39. He catches, turns upfield, gets extra yards, tiptoes the sideline, 35, 34, and out of bounds. Leaving Troy 9 short, the play goes for 14. Second down, 9 for the Trojans. Ball marked for play at the 33. Officially of Sidney. Siler gives inside handoff to Walters, and Walters has no room to run here. He danced to the right, little dance step back to the left, collared and decked. And no gain. So it's going to be 3rd down for Troy. Line of scrimmage, the Sidney 33. 7:20 to go, 3rd quarter. Troy 12, Sidney 7. Yellow Jackets need a stop. Boy, the domination in plays from scrimmage tonight, Chuck, ratio of about 5 or 6 to 1.
Yeah, they've had the ball quite a bit. If I'd kept time of possession.
Oh, Sidney's had the ball for only about 8 or 9 minutes all night. Deep drop by Siler, throwing middle of the field, end zone. He's got a receiver. Sidney covering him well, though. It's too far, no good. It was Staniford about 8 yards deep. Beyond the goal line, Seiler uncorked it. Wind might have helped to sail that a bit too far. That was a third down play. So Sidney comes up big with a no-gain stop against the run. Then the incompletion in the end zone. And it's 4th and 9, Troy, at the Sidney 33. Play of the night for the Sidney defense right here. Yellow Jackets simply cannot allow a first down if Sidney wants to come back and win this game. Snap back to Seiler in the pocket. Fires to the right sideline. Oh, it's no good. Bad throw. Out of bounds. It was whipped in the air to the first down marker, and the receiver for Troy was a good 13 yards downfield. Had to come back for the ball, but it was simply wide, off target, out of bounds.
It wasn't close.
Nope, no chance. So as well as Troy has moved the ball all night long, Chuck, 3 somewhat ill-conceived play calls in a row, and Sidney takes over.
Well, I didn't really like the third down call trying to throw it into the end zone. You get half the yardage or try to get the first down.
Right. Sidney takes over. Running play right up the gut and a bolt ahead for about 7. First and 10 Jackets, who began at their own 33. That was Cedric Johnson, quarterback keeper. I like that play call. Good offensive line thrust. Nice job up front by Isaiah Huggins, Nick Benshoff, Zane Snyder, Evan Kennedy, and Brian Jones, the center for Sidney. They carved out space for Cedric Johnson, who charged ahead for 6. 2nd down and 4, shy of the Sidney 40. Half the third quarter gone. Troy leads 12-7. Johnson back in the pocket. Flat receiver well covered. He eats it, and he makes a hurried scamper to the line of scrimmage and then surges over it for a gain of 4.5 and a first down.
I'll tell you what a great decision that was, because if he would have just turned and thrown that, it was 6 the other way.
I think so. It could well have been a pick 6 headed to the north. As Cedric tucked it, didn't have a whole lot of space in front. A nifty run of 4.5 yards. 1st and 10, Sidney at the Yellow Jackets 45. Receivers left and right. The play call, Davis, left tackle, pushed to the turf at the 47.
Well, they're not finding any room for Davis tonight.
No, he manufactured 2 all on his own. 3 yards short of the 50, 2nd down and 7 for Sidney. 5:28 to go in the third quarter. Troy 12, Sidney 7. Chuck, any updates on Lehman Catholic against Hardin Northern? Last score we had was late first, early second.
I think I just saw they're down 7-0. They trail 7-0 at the half.
Defensive struggle up in Kenton County. Here is Sidney running wide, and the play goes across the 50 in Detroit territory. Good tackle far side of the field by Elijah Atkins, linebacker for Troy. I didn't catch the ball carrier for Sidney.
It was Davis.
Cedric fed EJ, leaving Sidney 3 short of a first down at the Troy 48. Third quarter zipping by fast. Had we not had that delay of a couple of minutes for the shaken up Troy player, we'd be near the end of this third quarter. 2 receivers near side for the Yellow Jackets. 3rd down, every bit of 3 to go for a first down. 8 defenders in the box for Troy. Sidney runs it, right guard. Play stalemated, but then a second surge by Davis and a first down at the 44 of Troy.
Well, they got away with one because Davis was going forward on the snap.
Good observation, Chuck. That might have been the 3rd badly blown call of the night.
Not sure what they look at.
No, and it's sometimes deceptive. From this vantage point, you think that back is moving a little soon, but, of course, the officials down on the field are watching that center moving the pigskin.
Right.
2 receivers far left. Cedric Johnson is the QB, sending a man in motion across the formation, Lathan Jones. Oh, it's a run all the way by Cedric. Look at him weave. He bobs ahead and coughed up the football. He had nearly a first down at the 35 of Troy. It fell forward to the 31 or 32. Did Sidney miraculously recover?
Well, I didn't see the number, but somebody pulled a thief away there.
Oh, my goodness. Sydney virtually fleeced that fumble recovery from a Troy Trojan, and it may be a little while even after the game before we're able to get word here in the press box about who for Sydney fell in that football. But it wound up being a run of plus 10 for Cedric Johnson, including the fumble ahead, first and 10 at the 32 of Troy. Johnson again, a little hop, skip, and a jump in the offensive backfield, and a late dash forward for four to the 29 of Troy. Keep in mind, Trojans missed both PATs. Sydney would take the lead with 6 points alone, down right. Five. 12-7 Trojans. What were you going to say, Chuck?
I don't remember.
Our memories are getting shorter and shorter.
I think I was going to make a comment about how the offensive line is starting to really do a nice job now of getting some movement along the line of scrimmage.
That is a fact for sure. Only one senior up front. Jones in motion. It is Johnson. A late handoff. It was a read play by Cedric. He gave it to Davis. Maybe should have kept it. And EJ is plowed into, across the way, into the Troy bench along the line of scrimmage at the 29. No gain.
Evan Jones ran him down, and he didn't have a prayer.
Good play by Jones. Oh, my goodness. Here is a big-time flag tossed by the official in Sydney's offensive backfield, and I don't know what for. But it was well after the play. Sydney was beginning to huddle, and somebody may have said something he shouldn't have. Unsportsmanlike conduct on Sydney.
I'm going to guess it was on Davis since he's walking off the field.
And, Chuck, that is a very
wow.
That's a serious infraction.
That's now don't turn the ball over and get a good punt off.
Line of scrimmage now way back at the Troy 44. And Sydney now needs 22 yards on third down. And if you don't get more than half of that, you have to punt the ball away. 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Troy up 5, 12-7. Two receivers to the left for quarterback Cedric Johnson. A drop by him back to his 48. Still looking forever. A high, lofty pass downfield. It's a jump ball, and the center fielder for Troy has easy pickings at the 16 or 17. He's tackled after the interception at the 21, and the Trojans take over.
That's as good as a punt.
I think the Sydney crowd down below wanted a late hit against Johnson. Well, there is a marker down upfield at the 35. I don't think roughing against the Sydney quarterback was called. I think that was ignored. It was close. But there is a marker upfield in the Troy secondary.
It's just going to depend on if it was post-possession, dead ball.
And it is ruled against Troy after the interception. Trojan possession, step off the penalty, and Troy will start from well back inside its own 25-yard line. Maybe even further back than that. Let's see if the official is yet to step it off. A minute 46 remaining in the third quarter of play. It's Troy 12 and Sydney 7. Again, at last report, Layman Catholic was trailing 7-0 at the half to Hardin Northern.
Loramie leading Tri-Village 41-0 at the half.
Minster was in front of St. Henry.
Yeah, bad. 28-0, I think, was the last score ahead.
A comfortable lead, Minster, in that game. Xenia was ahead of Piqua.
21-0 at the half was the last score. Piqua has really kind of folded the tents after that loss to West Carrollton last week.
And Anna had a sizable lead over Fort Recovery at halftime.
41-13.
My goodness. Figured Fort Recovery would be better this year after having a nice season with talented sophomores a year ago. Well, the penalty had not been stepped off. It finally was. And Troy starts from its own 6-yard line, and they run Walters for a hefty gain out to the 22. He exploded over right tackle for a quick 15 or 16. Minute and a half left in the third period, 12-7 Troy. And the way the Trojans have run the ball, Chuck, Sydney may not get this ball back till midway point fourth quarter of this game.
Yeah, if they don't get a couple of stops here, you're absolutely right.
New line of scrimmage, the 21, after the surge of 15 by Walters, first and 10 Trojans, with Braden Seiler, the senior quarterback. Walters alongside. Man in motion, Huker. Ball fed to Walters, left tackle, no room there, springs it wide. He's got 10, a dozen, and maybe 13 to the 34 or 5. He is an extremely patient running back.
I'd like to see, I don't want to see him get away in this game, but I don't know how fast he is.
Right.
I mean, I'm watching him, he dances, he just kind of lopes along.
Yeah, he runs on the spot.
Very effective.
Yes, he's disciplined, patient. And when he sees a crease, he makes a spurt, another crease, another spurt. And he ad-libbed that play to the outside, and he runs this one right up the gut for 8 or 9 more. Boy, the Troy Trojans offensive run game has been a powerhouse. We knew it was going to give Sydney on defense serious fits tonight. That's been an understatement. This game featuring the top three rushers in the Miami Valley League, E.J. Davis, Braden Seiler, and Kevin Walters. And Seiler and Walters have been unstoppable for Troy, which has a 2nd and 1 here from the Trojan 43. Possibly the final play of the third quarter. And it's Walters right up the middle behind his center, Hubbard. And look at him go. He won't go down. He stays on his feet. The pile is pushed from the 47 of Sydney all the way to the Jackets' 40. 16 ticks on the clock, late third quarter. 12-7 Troy. Trojans with a 1st and 10 just outside the Sydney 40. Troy might have gotten into the end zone at the end of its last possession had it not been for a big penalty. And a pass play in the end zone, which was incomplete, and a run from scrimmage for no gain, and then an errant pass on fourth down. Third quarter is in the books. It's over. Troy will have it at the Sydney 40 when we start the fourth. 12-7 Trojans on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
This is scoresbroadcast.com, scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. We initiate play here in the fourth quarter from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. And guess what? The Trojans in 1st and 10 rush it ahead for 4. It's Walters spinning, churning, and diving ahead eventually for 3.5 yards outside the 36 of Sydney. It's 2nd down, a little more than 6 to go for a 1st down. Half minute into the fourth, 12-7 Troy. Sydney flanks 2 receivers to the left. Seiler, the quarterback, keeps and takes off running around left end. Look at him go. He lurches across the 30 to the Sydney 28. He's got the 1st down. He bolted on the play for about 9. A good read play by the quarterback, Seiler, who faked it to Walters. And there was an opening around left end, and away he went. 29 of Sydney is where the ball is marked for play. 1st and 10 Trojans. Minute gone, fourth quarter. Ball fed by the quarterback, Seiler, to Walters. Oh, he's hog-tied and dropped. Good tackle by Sydney. And who made that hit for the Yellow Jackets, Chuck?
Is it Swagger?
Yes, indeed.
Jaden Swagger.
as Swiger's a fine defensive performer.
Only a sophomore. That was a heck of a play.
He's a soft. He and Cagle are two rock-solid LBs. Swiger does play some tight end for Sydney on the offensive side. That was a big stop right there. The play results in a minus one, second 11 Troy from the Sydney 30. Siler, the QB for the Trojans, calls his own number. He takes the football, trudges ahead to the 26, no more.
Got a hold on Troy.
So it would be third and six if you decline the penalty. If you take it, it's second down all over again. And what, in excess of 20 yards?
Yeah, it should be 21, second and 21.
Chuck, I got a text from my family out in Phoenix, Arizona, joining us for the webcast tonight, and they like.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Marina. They like the description I made earlier in this game of Troy's offensive front line. Five beefy athletic young men. And they average over 300 pounds.
Yeah, they're
four are juniors.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be a pretty good team next year.
And they move so well. They're very agile. Here's a screen. Slip to the left flat. Sydney diagnoses it well. It was caught by Euchre. Nowhere to go. He did manage four or five, but Sydney sniffed it out. Well done by the Jackets. So for Sydney on defense here, the Jackets have to know it's four down territory for Troy. Third down and 20. No, check that. More like 16.
Hey, Tim, is it 64 and drizzly out in Phoenix?
That's what it is here.
I'm going to guess it's not.
Third down, 16 to go for Troy from the Sydney 35. 9:20 to go, fourth quarter. It's Siler keeping. He goes left tackle, not much room, and he puts his head down. He gets just two, 3 feet off the ground, and he plugs ahead for a couple yards. Sydney really sniffed that one out. Siler kept it as he has all night long. If you're on defense for Sydney, why not look for Siler? And it's going to be fourth and 13 or 14 to go for the Trojans at the Sydney 32 with 8:44 to go in the fourth quarter. And Troy up five. Trips to the right. Passing formation. Quarterback Siler looks. May go to the lone receiver down the left side. Deflected away by Taborn in the end zone. Well done. Is there a marker down? That's got to be against Troy. Maybe a legal shift. I think that's the call, and it's a hold, but Sydney Jackets get a stop and take over in the area of their own 30-yard line with 8:34 to go in the fourth. Chuck, if you get a touchdown, you don't have to worry about the PAT. You trail by just five.
The defense, Sydney's offense has struggled. Sydney's defense has been outstanding.
It sure has.
I'm going to go cliche here. They have been, but they have not broken. I mean, they've given up some yardage, but they're not letting them get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, a bushel basket of yards given up by Sydney's defense between, what, the 30s all night long up and down the field. Troy has run. But Sydney has stiffened when Troy has gotten the football down around the Sydney 30, 25-yard line.
I'd like to see Lathan Jones get involved in this drive.
Here is Cedric Jones, the QB, to E.J. Davis of Sydney, and he bucks right up the gut for a quick four to the 37. 8:20 left in the fourth quarter. Troy up by only five, 12-7. Yellow Jackets have a first and 10 at their, I should say, a second and five at their own 37. And I'm expecting you see another run right here. Maybe Cedric Johnson on a read. Do you give it to Davis again? If you're Cedric, do you keep it? 7-8-man defensive front for Troy, expecting a run. Quamir Brown in motion, and the ball goes through the hands of Cedric Johnson. It's on the ground, way back at the 31-yard line. And I think somehow, someway, Sydney, fortunately, made another recovery of its own fumble. And a Yellow Jacket young man is on the turf. 7:47 to go. Then he pops up right now. It's Quamir Brown. Under eight to play here in the fourth quarter. An official's timeout called. Sydney trailing Troy 12-7. When play does resume, The Jackets will have a third down and 12 from their own 30.
When you put a somebody in motion like that and they go between the quarterback and the center, sometimes I just really think that that disrupts the timing.
Oh, yeah, and if you've got that man in motion.
I think he was distracted that time because the snap was right through his hands.
Right, exactly was. Snap back to Cedric on third and 12. He's dancing. He slips. He falls. He lost the ball at the last second, and Troy might have gotten this one. Or Sydney did recover its own for a third time. Sydney ball at the 24, and Dunham with the wind has got to get away a boomer.
Yeah, the wind looking at us, it's really changed us a little bit.
It was
blowing hard.
Yeah, it was out of the east-southeast before the kickoff. Now very strong west-southwest.
Coming out of the west, yep.
Dunham in deep punt formation. He'll take the snap way back at his own 10 or 11. Troy should get excellent field position, up five with seven to play in the game. Dunham gets it away. Pretty good rush, but Troy, short kick. Oh, Dunham got the spin on that kick.
Yeah, he did.
A great bounce. Hit it to 50, and then it rolled 24 yards, or I should say 29 yards, to the 31. Try the math again, Jack. It rolled 19.
It bounced quite a ways. Alex Green broke through. Nobody touched him.
And
he never made an effort to block the kick.
I thought he was going to leave his feet from Troy. Green.
I think that was distracting for Dunham, and he did a nice job of getting the ball around him and kicking it, but no effort to block the kick.
Yeah, the defender for Troy had a shot at it. I was expecting him to take off from the ground with a mighty leap. He didn't. Dunham got a good roll after the ball lit on the ground. And then here's a dynamite run by Troy on first and 10 from the Trojans 31. It's Walters. He bear hugs that football. Sydney's picking at it, Chuck, trying to strip it, trying to pry it loose, trying to shake it away. Meanwhile, they're not tackling, and Walters has got about 19 yards.
Well, you saw how well that worked for Michigan State last week, trying to knock the ball away instead of tackling the runner.
I said 19. I should have said 14. First and 10 Trojans at their own 45 with 6:28 to go in the fourth, and Troy up 5, 12-7. Here's Seiler keeping right behind his offensive center, Hubbard. He bounces off of him and powers over the 50 to the Sydney 48. This offensive line for Troy is superb. I said 5 beefy, athletic young men. They're mobile, agile, they move, they block, and they average in excess of 300 pounds. Jacob Mormon, 320. Ethan Freed, 318. Dawson Hildebrand, 332. And every single, four of the five return next year. They are juniors. Here's Walters. Through the gut of the Sydney defense, over the line of scrimmage, beyond the linebackers. He's got the first down. He plows to the 42. Sydney has three timeouts remaining. Troy has three timeouts remaining. 5:30 left to go in the fourth quarter. It has been a briskly played game. There is a fairly heavy mist. Is that a good description, Chuck?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's raining, but you can see some water in the air for sure. It's blowing around a little bit. It might still be raining again.
This game not far off from the pace of the Belmont game. That contest was played quickly when we got out of the lightning delays, and Belmont controlled the time of possession that night, 39 minutes to 9. It's not quite that severe tonight, but, Chuck, it's close. Troy has had the football for at least three-fourths to four-fifths of this game.
Well, you can look over here. That's all their rushing attempts. That's Sydney's. Taking up almost another half a page, keeping track of Troy's offensive plays.
You've run out of lead in that pencil trying to dot Troy's progress all night long. You got to turn the page pretty soon.
The hard part's when I get my foot going to be able to count the numbers.
4:25 to go. Clock evaporating. Seconds getting away from Sydney. Seiler on second down and 7. Shoots over right guard. Little stutter step by him in the offensive backfield. And then he blasted away for close to a first down. Third and one, Troy, at the Sydney 33. We are all the way down to 4 minutes to go in this game. Sydney 12, Troy 7. It's very possible that Troy could wind up not getting points, but run out the clock, eating up the final 3 minutes plus.
No doubt.
Two receivers left, one to the right. There's no way Troy's going to throw the football here. Third and one. Huker in motion. And the ball is handed off by the quarterback, Seiler, gives to Walters. He's rolled down after a gain of 2 feet. Might have been just enough for the first down.
It looks like he probably just made it. He had to get to just inside the 33 or 32, and he got to the 32.
And a measurement will ensue.
Well, I can see it from here. Are you kidding me?
3:36 to go in the fourth quarter. Troy up 5. Here comes the chain. And if it's a first down, the dilemma for Sydney will be when to use the timeouts.
Well, 3:36, and you need to get a stop on first down.
Right.
If you give up 8 yards on first down, now you got to let them run another play.
Good point. Two Rushi family-owned firms doing business for 60 years each are proud supporters of ScorersBroadcast.com. Superior Aluminum provides the finest aluminum columns, railings, and fence available on the market. The Francis Schulte Company distributes quality wholesale building materials to lumber dealers, home centers, and door specialists. Superior and Francis Schulte, proud supporters of ScorersBroadcast.com. And we thank all of the staff and associates at both Superior and Francis Schulte in Rushi. Here's the scene. 3:36 left, fourth quarter. Troy 12, Sydney 7. Mist blowing in from the southwest here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. First and 10 for Troy after the measurement at the Sydney 32. It's Kevin Walters over left tackle. Oh, look at his balance. He stays afloat, still on his feet. Breaks 4 or 5 tackles as he runs hard down to the 10-yard line. You talk about an effective run. 5 or 6 black shirts, Chuck, had shots at him. None could drop him. Goal to go, Troy at the 10. Of course, points here by the Trojans would end this game.
I'm going to give him a little excuse. That defense has got to be tired. They've been just pounded and pounded and pounded tonight with the run game.
Yeah, Jeff Bray made the comment last week, as much as Fairborn had the ball second half against Sydney, the Jackets' defense wore down 1 week ago in the final two periods, especially the fourth. Same story here tonight against Dayton Belmont a few weeks back when Sydney won 7-0. Same situation. Sydney's defense was on the field all but 8 or 9 minutes of that game. We've got two backs staggered alongside the quarterback, Seiler. And as the cadence continues for Troy, a timeout is called down on the field. The Trojans use it. 2:50 to go in the fourth. Goal to go, Troy. Or I should say first and 10 just outside the Sydney 10. Just under 3 to play. Trojans up 5 by a count of 12-7. So many thanks here on ScoresBroadcast.com to our anchor underwriting sponsors, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. We'll hear from Eilerman Construction, our next lengthy break we have. Eilerman, one of our fine underwriting sponsors here on ScoresBroadcast.com, along with Regal Trophy and Awards on Walpock Avenue in Sydney. Regal for the crowning touch. For the finest in trophies, plaques, and awards, call on Regal. Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney. And Eilerman Construction in Fort Loramie. The Eilerman team of Mark, Scott, and Nick continue their father's legacy of quality craftsmanship. Troy to the line of scrimmage just outside the 10, or maybe it is goal to go at the 10. It's Walters burrowing forward to the 9. I think Sydney's got to use timeouts.
Well, I think you do it now.
And there's one. 2:42 to go in the fourth, 12-7. Troy over Sydney. Chuck, let's take a one-minute break. Let's hear from Eilerman Construction on scoresbroadcast.com.
Eilerman Construction in Fort Loramie will customize your building needs in a way that's absolutely unmatched.
Eilerman did a wonderful job. They came in, they sat down, my wife and I, and created an addition and a remodeling plan that included over 500 square feet of new master bedroom, a master bathroom with a big soaking tub and walk-in shower, and a beautiful closet. My wife's favorite place to be.
Homeowner Ryan Schultze said Eilerman Construction worked closely with him and his wife, just like Eilerman Construction will for you, step by step by step.
We also remodeled over 1,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Eilerman's attention to detail was amazing. They installed a couple hundred feet of new dark cherry trim and cherry doors to match.
Eilerman Construction is known for outstanding customer service and a personal touch.
From Jill in the front office to Dan, Mark, Scott and Nick Eilerman to Greg Heilers. They were all so personable and very highly skilled at their jobs.
Dan Eilerman Construction is a four-decade, two-generation business dedicated primarily to residential construction. You will be satisfied.
Expert craftsmanship, such a beautiful look, finished on time, and it was even finished below budget.
Online at daneilerman.com.
On second down for Troy from the 8.5-yard line, the handoff goes from Seiler to Walters. Oops, he slips down back outside the 10, Chuck. That's a break for Sydney, which utilizes another timeout. Sydney down to one. Troy will have, third down and... Well, technically, I think Troy can get
a first down right. about the 1.5.
Right, right. I was correct in saying that previously. And then I thought it looked like the first down marker was down at the pylon, but nope. Troy can get a first down in the field of play. But Sydney, with a couple two stops, has forced Troy into a 3rd and 10 now, back at its 11, 2:39 to go in the fourth quarter. It's Troy 12 and Sydney 7 in a very quickly played game tonight here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Now you wonder if they don't make it here, if they would go ahead and try to kick the field goal,
right,
which would put them up 8.
Seiler does the place kicking. He's a good one. Yep, here come the Trojans from the far side of the field. Back to the line of scrimmage. Sydney lining up defensively. Of course, a touchdown here by Troy on either one of these two plays would end the night.
Yep.
And it is Seiler, the quarterback, keeping. A half roll to the left. Then he hangs onto the football, tucks it away like a fullback. And he trudges up the middle, surges to about the 5. He's 3.5 short of a first down, maybe 4. Sydney uses its 3rd and final timeout with 2:33 to go in the fourth quarter. Well, by using the timeouts effectively as Sydney has, should the Yellow Jackets get a stop here, they've got better than 2 minutes on the clock, 95 yards to negotiate with no timeouts remaining.
Yeah. Well,
and a sophomore quarterback on the field.
The way they've not moved the ball. I mean, they need to find Jones and just try to get him the football. Maybe they could run the hook and ladder.
Yeah, right.
Troy might be looking for it after last
year. I would think so. Again, this Troy offensive line, outstanding. Jacob Mormon, 320, a junior. Ethan Freed, 318, a junior. Riley Hubbard, 254, a senior. Dawson Hildebrand, 332, a junior. Zach Ray, 261, a junior. The tight end is 230. And that offensive front for Troy has pushed Sydney around, especially as minutes have been consumed all night long. Sydney's gotten tired. Fourth down, and a little better than 3 to go for Troy. Line of scrimmage just inside the Sydney 5. 5-point lead Trojans. Ball snap to Seiler. Gives to Walters. Walters puts his head down. Digs up the middle. Hildebrand, the center, pushes. A late push. Another late push. And lo and behold, it might be a touchdown. Chuck, that was the longest 4.5-yard run I've ever seen. Not in terms of distance. It covered only 4.5 right up the gut. But the ball,
11 seconds.
Yeah. I counted 11.5.
Yeah.
Walters took the football. My timing describing that offensive front of Troy was perfect because Walters went right behind it, and it was like a big sled up front. It just paved the way for Walters, who by inch, carved out the final 4.5 yards to get the 6 to put Troy on top 18-7. And here is the PAT try upcoming. The ball is snapped back, kicked away. This one, unlike the first attempt of the night, is good. Troy 19, Sydney 7, and the Sydney Yellow Jackets need a miracle.
I don't think.
They've got to get 2 touchdowns, 2 hook and ladders in the last 2:22 with no timeouts to go.
They put up an effort, you know.
Sure have.
We came into this. They got a sophomore quarterback. They really, really made a great effort defensively. And offensively, they did what they could. It was a tough night. They did a good job of shutting down Davis. He didn't really get anything close to his average.
Nope.
They ended up with 83 yards so far on the ground as a team.
Well, the cold front is arriving. Chuck, the wind has swerved all the way around to the north-northwest now. It's coming from the north end of Sydney Memorial Stadium.
Boy, is it raining.
It's raining very hard. The wind began the night from the east-southeast, then moved to the west-southwest, and now the cold front is on a march through west-central Ohio. The rain blowing from the northwest, and fans on the Troy side are heading for the exits. Here's a ground ball kickoff down to the 33 where Sydney flops on it. First and 10, might as well say from that spot on the field, first and 67.
Lehman down 21-0 in the fourth quarter.
And looks like Lehman's bubble may have been bursted tonight. The Cavaliers coming into that game of 3 straight wins, a chance to run the table in the NWCC and take the conference title. But Hardin Northern with other ideas tonight up in Kenton County.
Who knows 19. What the weather was like up there. It looked like north might have been worse than down here.
I bet it got nastier sooner. And, boy, the temperature is dropping.
I'm cold.
Yeah, it's nosediving lickety-split.
I shut the window.
Sydney to the line of scrimmage, and Cedric Johnson throws a floater near sideline, and the Sydney receiver catches at the 37-yard line. Lathan Jones, Chuck, appeared to me to be about 12 to 18 inches out of bounds when he caught the football earlier in the game. A Sydney receiver was clearly inbounds, Quamir Brown. He was ruled to be out. Well, from my vantage point, he was clearly out of bounds.
I couldn't tell.
Sydney got a break. Troy assistant coaches in the booth to the right were going crazy.
It's only a 3-yard gain. I don't think it's going to affect anything.
No. They saw what I saw, though. Second down and 7. Line of scrimmage is inside the 40 of Sydney, and it's a double reverse. I'm not sure who wound up with the football.
It was Avante Martin.
Martin had it. It results in a loss of several. Back to about the 31 or 2. Troy player shaken up with a minute 58 to go here in the fourth.
Oh, you don't get cramps when it's raining and cold.
We'll hear from Regal in Sydney momentarily. Troy up 19-7, 12-point lead, under 2 to play in the fourth here on scoresbroadcast.com.
Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney has a corner on the market, and for a couple of very good reasons, quality and reliability. You see, for a long time, businesses throughout the region have counted on Regal for custom nameplates, badges, signs, and various industrial engraving.
Wayne Trail has partnered with Regal Trophy and Awards for many years. They have given us a quality product, always at a reasonable price, and completed our projects in a timely fashion. They've been a great vendor to work with, and we're more than pleased with everything they do for us.
Need trophies, plaques, and awards? Many colleges and schools, including Sydney High School, have preferred Regal forever.
When I think Regal Trophy, the first thing that comes to mind is the Wurman family. They take pride in every trophy that's produced. Regal Trophy and Awards has been in their family forever. Sydney Athletics, they've been our only vendor for 30-plus years, and I know at every event that they're a part of, our student athletes are going to leave with an award that is befitting the efforts they've put forward.
Put a big smile on everyone's face with Regal Trophy and Awards. 1269 Wapak in Sydney at regaltrophyawards.com. Regal for the crowning touch.
Up a wild play on 3rd and 11 for Sydney ensues. It's a long forward pass down the right side of the field against the driving rainstorm, against a heavy wind. It's nearly caught. It is incomplete, though, at the 40. Ball game here, 4th and 11 Sydney, a minute 35 left, 19-7 Troy. Very, very deep drop by Cedric Johnson. Short pass up ahead. It's good for a minimal gain. The receivers run out of bounds, and Troy takes over with 90 seconds to go. Well, in all fairness, Chuck, to Sydney's defense tonight, it had to perform far too many minutes. Sydney's D was out there on the gridiron close to 80% of this game.
No doubt about it.
It got worn down. Give all the credit in the world to this Troy offense. Offensive line is junior laden. It is spectacular. And the runners, the quarterback Seiler, and the tailback Walters are superb. They turned out to be everything as they were advertised. And it's a crunching ground attack. Both Seiler and Walters run with patience and discipline. They stay in behind that offensive line. Hey, Chuck, if I was the ball carrier for Troy, I might average at two and a half yards a carry, huh? You might go for three.
No, I would still lose yardage.
Boy, has this weather ever gone 360?
It's dropped to 60 degrees, but boy, that wind feels a lot cooler than that. 393 total yards for the Trojans, 143 for Sydney. 50 attempts, 311 yards on the ground for Troy. 26 attempts, only 83 yards on the ground for Sydney.
E.J. Davis, what, 50 rushing maybe?
At the most. Hey, I don't know if he got that. Probably of those 83.
Cedric had some.
He probably had 30 of them. So, yeah, he might have been in the 50s.
Well, when play resumes, Sydney, without a timeout, goes on defense. Line of scrimmage is in the area of the 39 of Sydney. Troy possession. Troy Trojans will go to 6-1 through seven games. Sydney drops to 2-5. Troy now with designs on a fourth straight division or league championship, having won the GWOC North the last 3 years, and will be in the driver's seat in the newly formed Miami Valley League.
What division is Troy? Are they a two or three?
They are a two. And Troy coming into play tonight was in the enviable spot of number four in OHSAA Division II Region 7 behind Anthony Wayne, Central Catholic, and St. Francis de Sales. Troy plays in more or less a northwest central region of the state in D2 Region 7. And tonight's win over Sydney shouldn't hurt Troy. 19-7 victory as the final seconds tick off. We're down under 10. Both teams out on the field shaking hands. Troy wins its fourth straight in this rivalry. Sydney's last victory came in 2015. With a crunching ground attack, the Troy Trojans defeat the Sydney Yellow Jackets here tonight by a count of 19-7. We'll return to wrap it up in a moment here from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field on scorersbroadcast.com.
Go to Goffney for quality furniture priced just right. You see, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has you covered with the very best furniture for your dining and living areas, adult and kids' bedrooms, home office and entertainment spaces, and much, much more. Goffney's new innovative support report system can help you find the perfect fitting mattress and make sure you take advantage of the 5-star white glove delivery. Visit our beautiful showroom with hundreds of room layouts. New inventory of furniture is always on display. That's Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A Furniture.com, 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney.
Well, the Troy Trojans may have graduated 25 seniors a year ago, but this Trojan team has got an outstanding senior quarterback this year in Braden Seiler, a superb senior running back this year in Kevin Walters, and those two young men did the damage on the ground behind a junior-laden offensive line. And Troy simply pummeled Sydney with a dynamite rushing attack. Sydney couldn't get its offense on the field. Chuck, I bet in the 48 minutes it was, what, 38 to 10, 39 to 9?
Yeah, it had to be close to that. Yeah.
Second
half was worse.
Oh, yeah. 19 to 7 win by Troy over Sydney. Yellow Jackets fought hard. Game wasn't decided, Chuck, until less than 3 minutes to go when Troy did punch in a touchdown on, what was that, fourth and three from the 4.5?
Yep, with about two minutes and 33 seconds.
Right, it was
It was 11-second play.
Yeah, a scant 5-point lead for Troy at that point. And you're right, the 4.5-yard run took at least 10 seconds as the running back Walters burrowed in behind that stout offensive line, and he took it inch by inch by inch down to the goal line, and that made it 18-7, the PAT 19-7. But it was a 12-7 game until under 3 minutes to go as Sydney hung around. Just could not get enough stops on defense to get the ball in the hands of the Jackets offense and its playmakers.
Well, Sydney ran 6 plays in the fourth quarter, only 18 plays in the second half.
My goodness.
And that's going to get you beat. Troy had 50 rushes.
Wow. Troy next week is home to Fairborn. That game is at Troy. Meanwhile, the Sydney Yellow Jackets are on the road at West Carrollton, which is coming off a win a week ago over the Piqua Indians.
Yeah, I don't know how, but who thumped Sydney?
Our Clancy's stars of this game, Chuck.
Well, we're obviously looking on the defensive side tonight. Ryan Cagle and Jaden Swagger.
They get the nod. 2 very good linebackers for the Yellow Jackets. They excelled. Sydney's defense on the field an eternity tonight. The Clancy's awards to Cagle and Swagger for the Yellow Jackets. Clancy's, Wapak Avenue in Sydney. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Our next high school football webcast here on scoresbroadcast.com next Friday night from Booster Field at Anna. Coldwater Cavaliers come to town to take on the Anna Rockets in a key Midwest Athletic Conference football game. Our anchor underwriting sponsors tonight, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, LaCalle Equipment at Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner, thanks to LaCalle, U.S. Bank, 29 locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News. In addition, Brookins in Fort Loramie, custom foam products in Fort Loramie, Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville, Clancy's in Sydney, Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney, Go Goffney, Frisch's in Troy, Tip City in Sydney, John Hemp Imagery in Sydney, he gives you his best shot. The In-Between, south of Botkins, food's not in between, it's out of this world. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your benefits. Call Chris North at 937-498-7282. Maury's Landing Restaurant, State Route 362 in Minster, across from Lake Loramie. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Maury's. Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney on Wapak Avenue at